deal with our final thoughts in a minute. So that's more or less our program for today. Over to the teams, our content advisor. Thanks.
Thank you, Stephen, for talking with the projector. We have copies of the hard copies of the presentation. Maybe to follow from the track, there is a part of the presentation called the Malanga Earthquake State Report.
You can go in.
The committee considered the Malanga province on the 6th of February 2016. The purpose of the visit was to check on the role of traps in the Bongo border post, to check on the role of traps in the Ankerrand post in Karski, and to visit police stations in the Nelspray, and also to check on the functioning of the public border police in Hazyview. We also visited the independent police investigative directors, but for the purpose of this report, we're not going to include the items, we will deal with the items that are typically checked. We also visited the Commissioner of Office of SAPS, and this is form part of the of Parliament's Oversight Meeting. Chair, our final thing for Malanga. One of the biggest problems provincially is that the police garage is a major headache. The vehicles are taking up to 3 weeks to fix. The province only has 309 vehicles to service. Although the front has discussion teams of national way, then it can only have 251 vehicles, and they have an official shortage of 193 vehicles. Now, Frank Garrett was evicted from the premises. We're waiting for the Department of Public Works with the implementation of Resolution 246, or R246. They need provincial accommodation of officers of the units in the province. We did see some of the members working in corridors of the provincial building there. The bank is not taking into account the growth of informal settlements when it was originally planned. And there is a shortage of men and fuel resources in that province here. Chair, if we can move on to the Bongo border post. There's no officers that are specifically provided to SAPS. SAPS have claimed in the report that the issue are largely ignored by DPW during construction. Our own research showed that the board land isn't properly secured. The fence is broken in the chain. And then the police members are exposed to an unhealthy working environment. There's no adequate shelter with temperatures of 40 to 42 degrees Celsius or with rains. There's no proper toilet in the immediate vicinity for the members. That's just a major problem because the side of the road, the gravel affects the health. When these big patches of people come and sit up on the side of the road, that they have seen sick. So one of the practical things that happens is that when it rains, the surge of those vehicles stop and they just let the vehicles through. The unavailability of scanners to check off cargo, so that also goes unfixed. There is a shortage of members, particularly during Easter and the festive season periods, and that's where the border post is from the business. The proposed one-stop border post is not in place due to legal impediments raised by the SAPS, and this is not operationalized. Chair, they only have three dogs available, four dogs, one for explosives and two for drugs. They require $9. They have picked up a negligible amount of firearms and drugs at the scene. So it was quite cheap to hear they only picked up 7 firearms at the purpose, and the drugs that they picked up was grams rather than kilograms. There's a shortage of members. They require at least 50 additional members. The fence is broken. It's not around 50 years on the 2 km border. When you spoke to the members of the fence force, they indicated people was walking across. There's lack of visibility of senior management. And there's an issue with the integrity and commitment of the staff, particularly when it comes to corruption. There's huge traffic jams and this adds backlogs. The Department of Public Works was pointing out and assist with infrastructure, particularly with the arrival rules, the route is leaking and some of the offices are not functioning because of that.
There's also two remote controlled motorized gates. Well, it's not working for 3 months.
Yeah.
So SAPS were not able to close that gate. Now that is a major issue that we'll also have to care about.
Yes, Jim, I forgot to indicate that the banks were the most huge asset board because the fact that it's not working is such a course major problems. In the Kruger, we said the anti-Rhino policy scheme now is operating. We were given some statistics that there were 827 Rhino cockatoos found in the Kruger and reporting. They estimated we had a projection of 1,025 that were going to perish. They indicated that the number of poachers are growing and that there was only a 4% chance of being caught. The estimated poaching forces grown up to 5,000. They recovered about 159 refuges in the Kruger National Park. 174 poachers were registered, 77 of them were from Mozambique. The crime syndicates, they indicated to us it takes a long time to do the investigations and to get down these syndicates. On average, it takes up to 5 years to bring down these syndicates. And they're only reaching, in terms of the threat of people that they want. They do require more intelligence. They could issue something like over 1 million people. And the Kruger National Park stops is over 2,000. They did indicate to us that we need to get it clear the Kruger National Park from the outside. So we must talk a bit about that when they talk about traditional communities outside the Kruger and the intelligence related to that. The majority of poachers that were listed off from Mozambique, we were informed that there's nothing happening with the end users, that we will forward part of the investigations when it comes to Rhino poaching, and that there's quite a lot of confession on the investigations into Rhino poaching. Here there's a big problem with the intelligence capacity. We only have two people in that task team that is responsible for intelligence gathering. There's briefings that have been discussed, but that's not being implemented. Then there's also been measures that have been arrested, and as a result, the detective search they and I have decided to implement a petition for all staff on the project. And there's polygraph testing for all detectives that are involved on the project. There's a problem with helicopters. There's only one helicopter available with two crew, but this is a dedicated helicopter for the Kruger. SAPS considered a fixed-wing aircraft to assist. They're also establishing a capacity to push outside the Kruger National Park. And again, the NPH is the main decision-maker after the arrest of suspects, and currently there's 86 cases on court row. We've also heard that the prosecutors at the court have closed that court down. That's the only court they're hearing this particular mess at the moment. The Morpher touch was not operational. It was replaced by two match agents. We have to commit to see the availability. I think one of the methods we try to see if it actually works. And so there is a new policy being developed on polygraph testing as well. And they indicate that the Kruger is not a national sequence. Chief, in her interview on the Public Order Police Unit, the Public Order Police Unit has huge challenges in the province. It serves five clusters at Akon, Pinar, Edinburgh, Nelsbury, and Tonga. They have huge distances to cover to get to the scenes of protest. If you look at the literature in Nelsbury, it takes about an hour. The worst case scenario is with Boudin, where it's just 220 kilometers away. It takes 3 hours to get to the scene. The 60 members, they're all 4 seats in the car. They have 13 vehicles. They have 8 Miatas. 7 is not serviceable, which means there's only one operational. And that's because of the centralization of garage management. That unit is using the parade hall for office accommodation. They don't have a conference room, which they require. Here, there's only 2 members on standby in the operation room after hours, and 1 information manager. They need a reserve platoon to be at least 145 members, which can be divided up to be 4 platoons. There's a dire shortage of IT equipment, cell phones, handheld radios, laptops, the commander, and they crop, they find earpieces for the radio set. They did request the old quarter to be transferred to top quarter fishing unit for accommodation. And they required the unit in terms of staff to be at least 7 to 8 my members. So the last time the sub-inspector issued a report on ACB's fox was 2005. There's been no mission that the fox has been since then. In terms of the fixing establishment, the fixing establishment is indicating that they are only about 95 members. So even on the fixing establishment, we use those figures, then they showed up 33 members as 10. There's no accommodation barracks for members, and most of the members are in the community. They live about 26 kilometers away from the center. They want that it's for older old pop members to be recruited or brought back into the Easter Pops. Nothing happened on that front, and they require double care for each year in that of other vehicles. At Nelbred Police Station, we went a bit better there. We had 257 suspect members, 56 public service act members, the shortage of 14 members in terms of perception. And the 56 detectives is broken up into 40 investigators, and 16 of them are placed in the crime office. They have a shortage of 10 detectives here. They have 44 vehicles allocated to the station that they're supposed to have 72. Problems or challenges with poor management of the National Road Traffic Act at the provisions at the tax year end, and we often come at that particular tax year end. The dependence on the Department of Public Works, especially as a non-devolved special, specifically when it comes to the combination of members. Steps combined that there is too many events, public events that affect permission when they have to deploy members. There's also conflict between subs and NKL over the refusal to prosecute some of the cases. The corruption that they're dealing with. Subs is inundated with certification of documents. In fact, the committee saw now at one section of the police station area or hundreds of people at the same airport coming in with documents. The police station appears to be used as an overnight place of safety for homeless people. There's insufficient parking facilities. They have a problem with the Department of Health and the procurement of assessments, particularly when it comes to drunk driving charges. It takes up to a year for the deterrent. And they have a problem with probation officers from the Department of Social Development that's not available for the Child Justice Act. Since then, we received an update from CEPS. They gave us an update from the
Department. Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe just in case the members, that is a version of the provincial commissioner. Then there's also a version, the presentations by the national office. I think go through that, the provincial commissioner's version.
See, the provincial commissioner has informed us that the province will engage with the Department of Public Works to do an assessment on the service and to do an adjustment to make provisions of the service. This is a place for crucial services for these members. Third, so many shelters in the first year, over shelters with vehicle verifications, over shelters and paving for parking of the police vehicles, and then temporary holding shelters. They need temporary holding shelters to separate from those people. They also need to be the completion of the MCMT office at the pedestrian building and shortage of office space. So the box scanner. They've indicated that the steps may push this to the national management, supply chain management, that they will be related. Additional human resources, they ask for a work study to be conducted by organization development problems. Requesting of vehicles, and that will be reconsidered when the fleet arrives, and this will add in vehicles with benign mileage. Replacement of old and single bed mattresses at the single quarters, and the front block and cheaper repellent which the members need, the provincial supply chain management system and procurement. Interesting as so that the members were provision shorts. Chair, the establishment of the soft ticket, given to the Sasha Air Office, they're supposed to put on that. The office and residential accommodation, the provincial office has made pauses in residential accommodations to distribution to the costing. This is the privilege. The procurement of additional office accommodation is going to be separated provide the supply chain management. Critical resources in the group we're on track, double cam, binoculars, night vision, water touch, air support. The vehicle was issued to assist with transporting of jet fuel, and we had to discuss with the leader of the ministry. So there is no firm commitment here, you see. The two match items were issued in place of water touch, and the helicopter will be made accessible at the scene, which is at the moment isn't accessible. The employee health and wellness, provincial employee health and wellness officials, and now offer psychological assistance to the members working there. Again, the cost order produced is an amazing view, office accommodation barracks, they refer them back to the top of the compartments, pollution facilities, and the main purpose. Again, the cost of public works to do assessment of the facilities and do adjustments and make provision for the facility. Additional vehicles and equipment and replacement vehicles. They subsequently issued two quantum vehicles by provincial supply chain on the 5th of February. Under arrival Miatas, 3 Miatas are awaiting parts in the garage, and 2 Miatas are awaiting parts from the manufacturer, and the rest is to be processed. Head office assisted with 2 of the Miatas in terms of the report. Personnel operational requirements. They decided to give each unit 4 laptops and 4 3G cards. Handheld radios with earpieces will be procured by TMS, and 6 cell phones will be issued on the 13th of February. And then the organizational development is very good. It's the worst sharing investigating the resources of the resources. As an outfit, strength of registration is the poor management of the National Road Traffic Act, the local municipality has contributed to the process of addressing the conflict. The dependence at the DW station is not involved, and the building is not involved, and this will be escalated. So we're waiting for supply chain management and DPW to report to the committee. It's inadequate parking space for financial personnel. Again, that's a matter for the Department of Public Works. Withdrawal of blood samples, the coordination of caps with the Department of Health in the province. This is something that was raised at national level by energy. So we are supposed to be at MOU at national level, and maybe the caps can be put on our part in person. Probation officers from DSC are only available, officers are only available during the week between 8 and 4 o'clock. And this method will not be discriminated for the social crime prevention.
Thank you very much, Irvin, for that. Is there any questions from members to the content advisor of the researchers? I think it's important for members to read the interim report from the Provincial Commissioner with the report that was given to us by SAPS. Quite important in terms of questions. Any questions from the members? Honourable Malabatsi.
Yeah, thank you. Mine is on, I think it's more Ramadan. Please bear with me, I'm not English speaking. The withdrawal of blood. Do we say when blood is being taken out, do we say if blood is withdrawn?
No, you don't say that it's withdrawn. I was referring to the samples that the health officials.
Now I understand.
Right, no questions or members. I think then if we can maybe get chats. I don't know if Colonel Stone is around. Yeah. We can maybe start earlier.
Yeah, we will
do that. Good morning, Commissioner. I see you sitting on that side, sir. Well, we will hopefully will all the delegations stay for the whole
No, that's fine.
Okay,
that's great.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You didn't send me questions, so I got there.
Are you well?
Yes.
You're welcome. Well, good morning, honourable members. Good morning to the delegation of SAPS. Welcome to the portfolio committee meeting of today. Maybe just in terms of our program for today, we will get responses by SAPS regarding the Mpumalanga oversight visit. I maybe just want to call SAPS to keep it as brief as possible. The members have received a, you know, the presentation so that they've got enough time for questions. And we will also have Public Works with us so that we can have a joint meeting with them as well to deal with the relevant issues. Maybe before we start with that, I just want to maybe, honourable members, just deal with one issue that we dealt with at our previous meeting. Members will remember that we received a letter from the Minister of Police. He requested us to activate certain procedures in terms of Section 17DA-4 of the South African Police Service Act. We as a committee then decided to write to the Honourable Speaker of the National Assembly, and we received yesterday afternoon a letter from the Honourable Speaker. So I'll just read the letter to the members that we take note of that, and then also write the necessary letter to the Minister. Yeah, the heading is request by the Minister of Police for the Portfolio Committee on Police to initiate proceedings for the removal of the head of the Director for Priority Crime Investigation. Your letter of 30 January in regard to the above-mentioned matter first. The statutory functions of the National Assembly in respect of national bodies and institutions require that a request such as the one you have received from the Minister of Police should be addressed to the Speaker to initiate the appropriate procedures. These procedures include the timing of such a request and referral to an appropriate committee. In addition, once a committee has reported the matter, it must be considered by a plenary session of the Assembly. The Minister of Police should therefore address his correspondence to my office for consideration and initiation for appropriate processes. You also see the Speaker. So in effect, members, what it means that the letter should, the Minister should write to the Speaker and not to this committee. So we'll inform the Minister accordingly that there's a correspondence go to the speaker and to the committee. So that's just that I said I want to deal with. Yes, Honourable Member.
For clarity here, I'm not drummer was instructed to go back to work by the court. What the minister did was unlawful in removing Grant. What the minister did was unlawful in putting in his own choice of head of the court. Surely that is what we should be discussing. What this minister has done. Not writing to him, so he just writes to the speaker to get rid of him.
Honourable, by support of order?
That's not what we're discussing now. You are merely telling us, reading the letter to us. We're not discussing Brahmati and what happened and what did not happen. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, maybe just again clarify, remember members, we wrote to the speaker in terms of the further process. We received our letter, which indicates that the appropriate procedure would be for the minister to direct a letter to the office of the speaker and not to the portfolio committee. Because normally, if such a request comes to the National Assembly, that will be tabled and then referred officially to a committee of the National Assembly. So that's what the procedure is right. Thank you very much. Then we move on to today's main business, namely the visit to Mpumalanga as well as the specialized units. Maybe just to indicate that we want to thank the Provincial Commissioner of Mpumalanga, the new one, and his staff for hosting us during that week, and also the National Head of Detectives who assisted us in the various meetings. We got a very good, I think, understanding of the issues that are at play there. Some of the issues like that are posing is a very complex issue. It is not a simple issue, and we understand that. But in our engagement with police officers, and you know, we didn't only took the briefings, we spoke to lieutenants, colonels, captains, brigadiers, on and off the record, to get real sense what is happening, what is going on, what can we do as the portfolio committee to assist. The one issue that is quite important and we've raised it previously as well is the issue of members' wellness. I think we've raised it in the previous meetings, and I think the Deputy National Commissioner gave us assurances and assistances. But just to give you two examples, in the one briefing we received in Kruger, it was indicated difficult working conditions, no incentives for members to work under these conditions. There's, for instance, no special allowance currently for detectives. For instance, the issue at Lebombo, the current infrastructure is not conducive for policing in a port of entry environment. No officers are provided to the police. Police leaves are ignored or not to attend during construction. So there is from the ground level, indeed, from all the SAPS members, a real request. Let's look at, you know, the conditions. And we're supposed to really think that is an issue that we should really look at. I think when we go also to public order policing, we will also raise those issues. So that's quite critical that we need that. Then in terms of, before we go to the briefing, is also the issue of resource and equipment. And that's a major issue. I mean, in terms of the budget that we approve on an annual basis, it's a big budget. And we've got the sense that the new Provincial Commissioner, I think he did an excellent job. He's got some challenges with the team that's assisting him. And I think that's the issue for him to deal with in the national office. But we also got the perspective that in terms of supply chain, assisting the units on the ground, that things are not going as they should go. And therefore we felt as a portfolio committee, rather than wait for 6 months down the line, get the report approved at Parliament and deal with that down the line, it's of such importance that we deal with it now. Because if we don't deal with it now, the conditions that are prevailing will impact on policing. And the third issue we picked up as a trend as well, and I mean the National Commissioner team has indicated to the portfolio committee previously, the question of an integrated approach of policing. And we think that is critical. If we don't have an integrated approach of all units and all divisions working together in unison, we're not going to have good results. And that is especially in terms of the Rhino approach in public order policing. If supply chain is not supporting the operational units as it should be, we're going to have problems. And we will support any steps from national office to be strict. And there must be accountability. Because we can't have brigadiers, colonels and captains and lieutenants telling us we can't do the job. It's not possible. We can't accept that. We believe that there's appropriate enough budget for the department to do the job. And therefore, this morning's meeting is really to flesh out those issues and get the necessary assurances moving forward that we can service the people of South Africa. So that's really the approach this morning. So without further ado, I'm going to give an opportunity to the National Commissioner and a team to go through the five or six presentations, and then we'll go to questions. Honourable Senator.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just on a point of clarity, I didn't want to interrupt you. I just want to know, there was an incident last Thursday with the opening of Parliament where police were involved. Are we going to have an opportunity to ask questions? The Commissioner is here. I just want to make sure what the order is going to be, because I think it is important, and there are some questions, and I just want to know whether we're going to have that an opportunity. Thank you.
Yeah, I think we should take note of the incidents that happened last week. Of course, I think there's also parliamentary processes underway. I see there's also core challenges in terms of the constitutionality of Section 11 of the Power and Privileges Act. Of course, it's also within the domain of the Speaker, but I think not for today. I mean, we may be at a later stage can discuss those issues, but not for today.
Sorry, Chair.
Yeah.
Can we debate on that matter to say why not today?
Well,
I hear what you say about the court cases and the sub judice and all that sort of thing, but I mean, I can't see that we will reach on that if we ask a few questions for clarity.
Maybe just on procedure. At 8:30, I put the agenda to the members, and I said, this is the agenda. So in terms of my approach, that's the agenda, let's deal with it. The other issues you raised, we will definitely ask the committee to consider it in appropriate time. I can give you the short. Yes. Thanks.
Chair, I'm a well-disciplined man, but we can't change the agenda at the meeting. It's not that it has been predetermined that that is the agenda. It happened quite often in the past that the agenda has been changed and everything. So I would at least ask you for the committee to make a decision whether we want to put on that point or not on the agenda.
Honourable Malabachi.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. With respect to Honourable Ahmad Alex Krunawa. Yeah, we have a jam-packed agenda. Can you speak, please? Thanks.
There is only one topic on the lips of every person in the country. That is the invasion of the National Assembly by police. Dressed in white shirts and black trousers, pretending we wouldn't know who they were. You know why we walked out the DA, because we could not get clarity on whether they were brought in from outside or were parliamentary police. And surely, as a committee, we should be discussing the issue of the day. I understand the importance of everything on the agenda, but the issue on every front page, the issue on the minds of every foreign investor around the world, is what was done to our parliament by the police. Surely, we've got the National Police Commissioner here, who must surely answer to this. I understand probably what your instructions were. I understand that you have a very tight agenda. But for this committee to ignore what is actually happening, that they turn water cannons on DA members outside of Parliament, beat up and arrested an MP and four others, it's extraordinary. And we're going to sit here and talk about riders and equipment and cars. Surely not.
Thank you. The last one will be honourable Ramakrishnan, and then I'll make the call.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. My view, Chair, is that we can, later date, if in committee talking that we need to schedule this specific issue, we can schedule at that time. But for the way the meeting is being called, specifically to deal with the agenda that has been scheduled. So I think that we should stick to that, and if other members want to suggest add for the next meeting, we should do that, then we can consider it at that time.
Yeah, as you indicated, at the appropriate time, our meeting for today has been scheduled with the relevant issues, and in terms of three weeks from now, we anyway going to discuss the budget of the department, so there will be ample time, but I mean, we can discuss that at the next meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. You know, I can't count. It seems I'm going to lose your vote. But I would just say we want to say that I know, but maybe we will also say we want to say Parliament as well. But I concur.
Right, thank you very much. National Commissioner, and you are welcome to go ahead. But again, if we can keep the briefings brief, we give members enough time. Thanks.
Chairperson, thank you very much for the invitation to come to the committee. The minister was for introducing the key, the large key that I brought. And I would quickly finish by saying I brought the large key because I thought it's a response meet session where the committee has visited and have questions to raise with us. The presentation that we put forward was more indicative based on the observations that have been made by the team, so I may even be asking Chair to finish. Should we go straight into the questioning process so that we try and answer with the brief input, and then because a lot of the information may just take time for us to get to the committee because you were not prepared with your observations and your questions. So what they are doing is preempting what the committee has observed. I thought maybe we'll be able to join you in the morning session when you were doing the summary that would have prepared us to be able to respond appropriately. So I think we need to also look at how we approach this matter. Do we, from the draft messages, come to information, or do we start taking exception by question to respond to the issue that comes from your observation in the business? But then I will speak with you. Let me introduce the team that I can. Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start off with the two Deputy National Commissioners, Lieutenant General Stacey, who is the Deputy National Commissioner for Resource Management, Lieutenant General Sitsone, who is the Deputy National Commissioner for Police. I start with the Provincial Commissioner of the Service that you visited, Lieutenant General Matazela. And Lieutenant General Cruiser, who is the Divisional Commissioner for Supply Chain, Lieutenant General Mawela, who is the Divisional Commissioner for Operational Response, which is responsible for the borders as well as the public order policing and other specialist units. Lieutenant General Munu, who is the Divisional Commissioner for Detective Services, you were in Haiti when you were there. We have Lieutenant General Kwanazi, who is responsible for facilities management, working with the DPW that you indicated you've invited there. And then we have Major General Zemeza, who is acting national head for DPPI. Captain General Mahale, who is the head of corporate communication. We also have Nami, Major General Zuma, who is the component head for border management, and Major General Alan Jane, who is the component head for specialized operations, including those POPs that we're talking about. We have Brigadier Dean Kwanazi, who is the special head for public border policing, because we realize that there are some issues around public border policing. And Brigadier Shilembe, who works with Major General Duma around border policing. And finally, we have Lieutenant Colonel Faith, who assists us with our parliamentary processes. This is the team that is here.
Thank you very much for that, National Commissioner. Maybe also our team, I want to welcome a new member of the committee, Honorable Leonard Matikane. He's been on other committees as well, but he knows this environment very well. He replaces Ms. Matebe. But not full-time. It is time, yeah. So welcome to him as well. You can introduce yourself.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Angie Mulibati. I'm a member of the committee. Thank you.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Angie Mulibati. I'm a member of the committee. Thank
you. I'm Jerome, a member of this committee. Dr. Peter Krunova.
Good morning, my name is Bernard Joseph. I'm an alternative member of this committee. In the absence of Mrs. Margaret today,
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning. The name is Raquel Mbede, a member of the committee.
I'm Jean-Claude Lebarra, with a member. Good morning. My name is Aaron Kamende, a member of parliament, coming in set of my colleague, Farmer.
Thank you very much. Maybe the DG Chief Director of Public Works, they can just maybe also introduce themselves. Oh, they're still coming. Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah, I think the proposal from the National Commissioner is fair. I think members, they started with the questions. We received the presentations. We've also received the presentation from the content advisor. So let's go to questions, and we'll give ample time to members in terms of engaging. Right, is that fine? Right, thank you very much. Maybe the first part, I'll start with a few questions regarding Kruger and to get some sense on where we are in terms of that process. I must also indicate that Sandfox have indicated their appreciation for the role of General Munu, as well as the SAPS team. They've indicated that they're making a difference, and I think this committee appreciates the good work they're doing, and we've seen it on the ground, and that's very, very, very good. But in terms of the current deployment and resources and what has been needed to change that multitude of situation, a few questions. In terms of equipment and deployment, the officers on the ground says to be really effective long term, they will need two additional units of 30 each of the National Intervention Unit. They'll need two helicopters with night sight vision because currently there's no night sight vision available. Currently the communication is not linked, for example, the task team can't speak to the HQ and other units, so there is a problem of radio communication. If you compare it to some part, they're more advanced at this stage. Then also, very importantly, crime intelligence. I know when it's true enough, but they said since 2013 there isn't a full-time person in Kruger to deal with the issue. The crime intelligence people on the ground said we are not enough in Kruger as well as the organizations to deal with the issues. I mean, in terms of presentation, we've got this potentially 5,000 poachers on the west as well as in the Mozambique side. So if we don't got that dedicated crime intelligence team, we are throwing a lot of money on, you know, on the project, and are we going to have any positive outcomes? And there's also the longevity of the project. The TAR team is there for 7 months, also the commanders dipper. So it's also about continuity of command, of dealing with the issues. But I think the major issue is, and I think General Munu was very honest with us in his presentation, although on level one there's good results, level two as well, but level four and five, we're not going anywhere. And that's the role of, I don't know, DPCI. So they must come on board. I saw in the presentation, it's indicated we can't go across borders, but surely there is bilaterals in terms of the SADC cooperation that the National Commissioner spoke about. There must be proactive steps, because the problem is if we're not going to address the level 4 and 5, we are not going to make progress. So our view is there must be much more resources from DPCI as well as crime intelligence be given to that project. Otherwise, we will have a kind of very much on the periphery, we will have action and availability, but to crack really the matter, we will not make any progress. And that's what the members are saying on the ground. That is not our own observations. So if we can just get a sense of, in terms of current challenges, how can we address that, that we've got the necessary equipment, manpower and technology available to deal with these. Right, let's get to the other members on the normal bus.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is partly covered by what you have said. And my second one is on your introduction, National Commissioner, General Panaji. You mentioned him as in the facility and what. And again, you mentioned him on as a section head of POG. Oh, it's different people. Oh, right. I'm covered there. Now, my second question is on General Moon, who's leading the task team in Bumalo. What then happens to to his deployment of being head of state during his absence. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Mulabati. Honourable Maki.
Thank you, Sir. My question would be on only two members of the crime intelligence in the first state. And I remember I asked, the head of TV's contract of Kuganikan of the Hacks Rangers or something. So overall, what does he need to be effective? Usually people would say we need helicopters, we need vehicles, we need weapons. Is that only one thing? Is that intelligence? And nothing else. And that goes along with what they said. They said they need to clear Kruger National Park from outside. Meaning that inside they are only reacting. And if we keep on pumping them with the resources, it's of no use, according to me. Not that it's of no use, but Kruger National Park is very huge. And if you are reacting, then it just doesn't work out. Why don't we give them what they want? They want intelligence. Because intelligence is not working in the bush, it's working in the villages outside. And that is exactly how you can stop. Besides intelligence, then it can't be stopped. So why don't we give them intelligence as they want? Give them as much as they want. Because according to them as a tax scheme, God will reduce poaching. That would be my first question. The second question, I don't know how the tax garages work. Assumingly, there is centralization of management with the garages, which seems to be a problem. And I don't think maybe it's a problem only in Kumana. If there's a problem in a province, then maybe in all provinces there is a problem. Why then do we have that? Why do we have to centralize? I mean, they mentioned lots and lots of problems that is caused by centralization. That's why we, out of 8 Nyalas, we had only one that was back. It is a bit embarrassing. So at least if something can be explained, why do we have to centralize the crisis that was there? I think for now, I will just stop. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Martin. Other questions?
Thank you, Chair. Sorry. Chair, I just want clarity. If I look at the report from the police, on the last page, it says that on the shortage of vehicles, it says the vehicle numbers are adequate, but 8 to 5 miles. Although if we look at the report from the committee, then if we look at the province, maybe it's only a specific unit, but I want clarity on that. It's actually, the province only has 309 vehicles. There's the provincial discrepancy of 251 vehicles. And it says that the shortage is 193 vehicles. And I just say that is the finding of the committee, although it says from the police, they are adequate, only 8 and 5 miles. Thank you, sir.
Honorable Mbele.
Thanks, Chief. A comment before my question is the observation I made during the visits to Kruger Park is that the operational model in terms of cooperation between all the agencies involved seemed to be sound and coherent. I couldn't pick out any major efficiencies in the basic model and how all the elements fit together and work together. But the issue I did pick up on is that it needs to be massively scaled up. So we need more people, more equipment, and just much more capacity to actually implement that. And so that leads to the questions raised by previous members of what are the challenges and why can't we ensure that resource provisioning much, much faster. But the one element that does still seem to be lacking from the presentations we had and the responses in this report on a more conceptual level is I don't get a sense that there's been enough thought applied to how do we achieve more effective deterrence. The operational focus right now is very much on rapid response, improving the detection at crime scenes and carrying that to a trial and to convictions. But it's no good, to my mind, it's really not good enough to fight the battle only on that front. It's not enough to be able to get to the rhino killing crime scene quickly and get all the DNA and if you're lucky, crack on two of the culture to prosecute. The way to work with that scale is to have a whole ecosystem that makes this much more difficult to even initiate in the first place. And we heard from General Munu's presentation at the time that at this point it's possible to achieve deterrence because of things like a low chance of the courts getting caught, low decision and conviction rates, the strong sense for poachers to get involved due to the high profit models, and the fact that we need lots of intelligence coming from different quarters to build those cases. So I have to ask the question again, what thought has been applied and what do we have in implementation to make the deterrence stronger and more effective? Because we can't leave it simply as having rapid response. It would be like saying in the case of shopping mall robberies, it's simply enough for staff to get to the crime scene after the robbery quickly and to do all their crime scene investigation. The point of having a policing architecture is to prevent crime as much as possible. So that's my question, deterrence. What's the thought by and where are we with implementing that approach?
Thank you, Honourable Billy. Other questions? Okay, this is the first round. Let's go to the National Commission and the team.
Thank you, Chairperson. A number of questions and covering a wide area. Let me start off by ask the respective people, I'll refer to them to respond to particular areas. But I want to start off by responding to the National Intervention Team. It is a new response. It came up in the past 1.5-2 years, exactly because we wanted to bring a difference in how we are intervening and developing some of work. And indeed, we have started capacitating. We hear what the committee is saying in terms of the need for speed, to accelerate the capacitation process. We share the sentiments here that are being echoed around the table, around the fact that it shows signs in terms of our level 1, 2, 3 of being an effective invention. So we will seriously look into prioritizing resources so that we can accelerate its capacitation, both resource-wise, people-wise, as well as equipment-wise. So we would also want to say, you recall that in the past itself, we also have a station. So we are looking at how to integrate and interface cooperation between the station, the National Intervention Unit, and the province. So the issues around integrated functioning actually are also high on our agenda. We will take time with this type of feedback to ensure that we connect those dots much, much more profoundly. Then we should go through there a number of questions that relate to resources. Chair, you raised the issue of resources. Honorable Mage has raised the issue of resources, in particular around the garages. Our approach to nationalized management of the garages is also new. It's about 1.5 years because we're sailing around a system that has collapsed. And I'm sure General Cruiser and General Sketchy will talk to those. The efficiency of the vehicles that have been raised by Honorable Minerva will also be taken by General Sketchy and General Cruiser. And Honorable Bellin, you also spoke about scaling up the resourcing, both physical people and others. Let's start there. I will ask General Cruiser and General Sketchy to deal with the issue of resourcing the ANP. If, okay, maybe let's start with the ANP, will come and go. So, General Cruiser, can we start?
Thank you, Honourable Chair and members. Let me deal with the issue of centralization of garages. I think we have reported to the committee there was that we appointed a consulting firm to look in terms of the funding of the garages which have collapsed under the provinces. From the 1st of April last year, the garages were then moved to a centralized model. The reason was to turn around and make the garages more efficient. At that stage, the garages, because I think the problem committee were focused on time, they were neglect in terms of managing of the garages. The posts were not being closed, it was just the posts were going out to the operational level itself. There were no tools or resources brought to the garages because of focus on operational issues. And the levels of corruption are very high. And that report, which was done by Transit Solutions in Denmark, indicated that one of the recommendations was that we need centralization. So from the 1st of April, we started the implementation process. I think we have now managed to fill most of the posts. I think a few are available because of promotions that have been held in the garage itself. Secondly, we have put waste and lists and tools for every mechanic in the garage so they can be equipped to do the job. And also we've taken a two-pronged approach in terms of dealing with matters internally through our own internal mechanics, and secondly, using the outsourcing model as a twin model to ensure that we have cars available to the provincial regions and divisions to do their job itself. We have a contract with Treasury and Transport through the Standard Bank to do the outsourcing, which I can say has dramatically reduced the issue of corruption, because when we did inspection over, the amount of money we're paying for services we were getting was 10 times higher than what we should have been paying, those sort of things. So now all those things are done through Standard Bank, so I think there's a massive reduction in terms of those issues. One of the challenges we have is the new contract with Transit Solutions is the volumes of work they can't cope with enough. They can't give the volumes of work we don't. And again, I think if you look at my presentation, which we give the amount of cars that come into the garages, even having to meet BWTO, this is A, just going to the garage to turn the car around faster because of the volume of repairs we get in the car itself. But if you look at the overall performance of ours, we can see there's a difference. With all the challenges, obviously it's a difference. We are trying to maintain a level of 80% availability to all problems. And I think we achieved it in most problems. I think the three problems are different 79, a very different number of cars. But if you look at the cars, it's not accidents. That 10% of the cars coming for accidents, we cannot retain, it's at least at a level of 3 days or longer to repair. So we're left with a state of 10% service and managed to get to 10%. And we measure that on a daily basis. And on the whole, I think we are achieving that target. So we're not happy with that, but as we 10 months down the line, we're having to be up there.
Can I just come in there, follow up? The directive to our visit to POPs in ICV regarding the vehicles. I mean, the commissioner was due, so it's not his fault. I mean, we engage the supply chain persons and the brigadiers and general majors, and there was no clear indication that there's follow-ups on a weekly basis or a document trial in terms of, you know, inquiring where are the dialogues, where are the process. So there is a major, major management issue, and I mean, you are saying now this and that, but I mean, what is the the logical upscaling of these issues to Pretoria. I mean, the things we've got, there's no control. Those you know, officials there, they just leave the things for better days.
Just a follow-up on the question. If any explanation you could give us the process to say from Asia view of any ally is not functional, is taken to a grass. I'm very slow to take some of these things. If you take me through the process, I will follow you very clear. Nyala is broken at later view. It is taken to a garage, shop's garage. Then, who does the procurement? They check it, a party is needed, whatever. Does the garage send a request to a regional or a plaster, whatever, then that one sends it to the province, and the province sends it to national before you can buy that part. That centralization doesn't work that way. So it means folks must write some notes to the garage and the garage. That doesn't work that way. Because if that is the case, then it's from the frying pan into the fire. Thank you,
follow up on the Ramakan on the same issue.
Yeah, no, just thank you very much, I would say. Just maybe General Cruz can explain the centralization model, the centralization model. It's are you talking about something new that is going to improve in terms of the tenure? Because the experience, the old experience I have is that the garage has always been under SEBA. Even though they've been placed in provinces, most of them, there's been a lot of papers that went up and down. So it is a new, for me, the issue is not the model, the issue is the output of the process in terms of the capacity, in terms of the vehicle getting in and out to be able to be deployed back into the crime prevention area. So the question really is that for me the model can be changed around, but if that model does not deliver the output to the quick turnaround, then you're still going to have the same problem with the resources that are attacking in the garage.
Thanks,
Frank.
Background to say, how did we get it earlier? In August 2013, we took a decision at the National Management Forum to central. Because at that point in time, all the garages were under the leadership of the Provincial Commissioner. What were we settled with? An equal standard, with mechanisms of process flows, cars that were not being repaired. We brought in a specialist to review the environment for us. And they came with a proposal that gave us this tolerant approach that we are looking for. So what we are seeing now is the implementation of the tolerant strategy. That was presenting that from April we started looking at those various approaches to tolerant our garages. What will be the process? First and foremost, the leadership of the garages, the command management of the garages. People were transferred to the garages who did not know anything about management of garages. So it was important for us to focus also on saying, General Cruiser had to look at what are we going to do to do to ensure that those that lead our garages are not put there because maybe they are no longer wanted in other areas, or they are put there because there's a promotion process. Came very critical, it's a critical point that we're addressing through this scenario and the specialization. Secondly, in need of the garages, we need assistance. We have lost a lot of assistance. And I'm sure General Cruiser will talk about what we're doing now to actually fully the garages differently with well-trained artisans that are understanding what needs to be done. Third issue was also to start looking at reducing the models that we're buying so that we can have specialization in terms of the retail. More Toyota, more Ford, more whatever, because the more diverse your fleet, the more difficult it becomes to actually contribute that thing. Thirdly, we were saying, can our garages cope with the total load for 50,000 cars or so? They're saying, look, and some of the advice that we've been given is that go for a mixed model in terms of how you deal with the research of your own garage, of your own vehicles. And the mixed model was that, hey, we used to buy cars and we would not buy them with service contracts. So now, all our new cars, we have service contracts again because it offloads, you know, the weight on our garages. Then we can focus on those cars that are no longer having service contracts. Could we manage ourselves? Not quite. Treasury NE, and it reduced the RT56 tender. That is the standard thing that the study that the agenda could have talking about. They are essential organizing platform to ensure that all state cars that have got service service contracts can be placed in the garages. But the garages are also choking because the state owns a lot of cars. So that's another belief that we are having. The second one was to look into how we deal with the vehicles that are aged and our garages now. We are looking at reduction of models, looking at those type of things, and managing, you know, the turnaround time. So the protocol that General Kulev is talking about is based on this mixed model that we're talking about, and we're looking at this turnaround to help us design this type of processes. So there is, it's any days, but I think there is method in this madness now. We know where we are going, and we believe that this turnaround strategy shall yield in time, and I'm sure as he talks, we'll start picking up some of those elements that says we're yielding. I mean, if we look at the number of us that we're buying of new ones, definitely we know that at least for a year and a half, they will be helped, you know, we will be helped by the RT56 model to assist us to do particular things. So it's those multiple levels that we have were engaged in the socialization of the garages. And what we want to achieve, we want to achieve consistency, we want to have standardization, we want to ensure that those that use our cars can be certain that when this particular intervention is given, they can certainly rest assured that they can find a common standard, whether you go to Cape Town or whether you go to Zimbabwe, they are able to get there. So I just wanted to give that background around why are we centralized and the approach that we're having. It's a well-guided model, it is a well thought out, it is structured, and I'm sure it can be used. And of course, it can continue.
Thanks, Chair, just to say is that the model doesn't take away the head of the base in the province as a day-to-day commander with the garages. That has not been removed. He still has authority and delegations to authorize payments for that level. So that's not been removed. Actually, we've increased those delegations to garage commanders, which they never had before, and to the supply chain in the province. So it doesn't need a head of intervention for everything. It is managed at the provincial level. Well, it's a simple model, but we'll say for certain quotes over certain models, one only a brigadier who signed it. So the brigadier in the province has a delegation, it's not a head office itself. The lieutenant colonel and colonel at the garages have the delegation to authorize or they don't have to authorize. So that delegation has all been given, and that's been supplied to delegations, and they have given the delegation to the province. I don't think there is resistance. We have met a lot of resistance. Of course, it's now no one is controlling in terms of where it goes. Before you could take it to someone and you would take on a globe of 8 rand, you would take it to them. Now it's verified by telling them all the prices. No one can ask about a certain level of prices in terms of the market, which is there. So there has been the resistance that slowly not the way I think is going much better around. But let me deal with the Nyalas, which is, I think, a big issue I share. Share the Nyalas are very aged vehicles. We are busy with the process of developing a new two carrier. We have finalized the text with the Nyalas. Here they are now helping us to further look at that model itself before start production with the we're hoping that in the new financial director of the first pilot model of the new two carrier. Because we need to go, these things are over 20 years old. They're old. We have over 500 Nyalas. The decision taken by public order that they need at any given time 200 operational nyalas to be functional. So we're busy cannibalizing, taking from the one nyala to others, but these things are not being manufactured anymore to create enough nyalas available. We have 338 available nyalas presently to the national unit itself, which they then move around in terms of their need itself. There are 90 nyalas, I can say, in the repairs, and these nyalas are most times not repaired at our barrage because of the we don't have technical expertise to deal with the nyalas itself. So what happens, for instance, in Nyala Freight, there is no company or in Mpumalanga who can repair nyalas. The company who repair nyalas don't have a branch, so what happens, it has to be close to Pretoria. So unfortunately, that's the only company, the closest manufacturer who can repair it itself. So when it goes to the garage, it gets authorized and it gets told and gets worked there. But if we bring it in time, I think we can keep sufficient nyalas available all the time. More than, we think we can keep 300 plus nyalas from outside as mechanical services available to public order at any given time, although they need only 200 for the issue of cannibalization. We're busy with the bitumen approval that we can have a single source, the manufacturer, and to be the sole supplier, so we can go directly without the tender process to those people, even sweeter them more. The other challenge with nyalas, if they stand too long, because of the nature of the vehicle, the seals and things they can, they're not being
sorry, used. Sorry, Pedro, a little more about you want to come in there?
Yes, sir. General Cruz, in the past, there were some 200 nyalas that were told that are being released. But do you include them in this? I'm talking about them in this 338, what I'm saying.
That's correct.
And does it include Mpumalanga also?
That's correct.
All right. Thank you.
Now, just maybe to add to that, who is then responsible? If you're saying you've got 337 available for the country, who is then responsible to ensure that on any given day, the province has got the necessary strength? Because that is our concern. I mean, who's managing that? Where does that buck stop? Because that's our worry after the Mpumalanga experience. But national level checks every day, every week, what is the strength?
Thanks, sir. Again, this funny arrangement in the ACBU where police, there was no clear cut of who must take vehicles for repair and where. There was no clear cut. Can you tell us what happened, sir?
Can I
just deal
with the unchanged vehicles? Remember, we have four units throughout the country. And each mob unit has to be allocated resources. People, cars, yellow. So, at a basic level, each of those mob units will be allocated those resources, including yellow. At any given time, you may find that the corporate is having challenges because they are dealing with Palamule and another, and Halakwena or whatever, and the mob units are a little bit pressurized, they need more nyalas. Based on those operational needs, the POP can look at whether they can support them using some of their national unit resources, or we can talk to another province that is not having more pressure, like when we're dealing with a Manjana would borrow from other provinces to support. So there is the static allocation, as well as the operational needs requirements, where we then utilize some of the ones that are sitting in the national unit, or requesting less specialized provinces, neighboring units to support the others. That's the arrangement in terms of how we are looking, but there is a base allocation for each of the units.
But I mean, National Commissioner, that's the problem. On our visit, that base was not there in the province. They were not. It was not there. They were all in repairs. And that's our problem. There must be a proactive, strategic approach of those resources. Who's dealing with that at their office? There must be a general dealing with that.
POP does deal with that, yeah. That's what I'm mentioning. That you say they have the base allocation and the public order policy. Look, scans the broader needs of everybody. If anybody needs help, they would come to General Mowry. to see General Mawela and the executive. In every while, we need more. What can we do? Can we organize? It's what the people, it's class, it's everything. So there is the national GOP of that would be doing those type of support for the public. But if you are saying the unit in Puma and Amina Park, the conference is here part for the conference. I think we must start by saying, are they allocated in Yala? Yes. Are they Yala in working shape? No, because they're conference. Thank you if we separate it that way.
No, I agree with you, National Commissioner, but I mean, in terms of the minimum requirements to deal with the issues on the ground, you need a certain strength, and that wasn't there. So somebody at the head office or at the provincial office are not doing their job. That is just the reality. Honorable members.
Yeah, still on the vehicles. Are you aware that in Mpumalanga, this policeman had to use phantoms to go to this dangerous protest to risk? But at least they will go in phantoms. Are you aware of that?
So because the negative was about the type of cars that were by, it's also out of mentioned earlier on screen, all the time to reduce more. Remember the RT, is it
57?
46 is the term. RT 57 is a tender that is transferred. Managed an administrator to buy cars for the state. And one of the philosophies they use is almost to say, buy that which is there that is cost effective, and they may buy Unos, they may buy Quantum, they may buy whatever. Part of what I said, Emma also said, we want to reduce models, not only for servicing, but also to start saying, our operational requirements, what nature of cars do we require? If I buy somebody who is supposed to be softest in Matakia and Uno to go up that banking, it will not help. So it is important for us to be able to the international treasure. Even if you are saying your prioritized models in terms of price, these are the cheaper ones that you think would get to take more cars. In this area, we would require the collaborators because they'll be able to do it. So that is the process that keeps on developing and we're engaging. Hence what I mentioned earlier on, we want to reduce the models because we now know in terms of our operational requirements what works and what doesn't work. So you find our fleet being very diverse, having many cars, and we want to get out of this so that we can be more specialized in terms of the fleet that we require. So that's it.
Thank you, Chair. I will be very direct. Obviously, the teacher is a matter that has been debated significantly in our finance. What model would be the best? The fact of the matter is, we purchase vehicles from certain contracts, but any maintenance plans, either as you buy a normal vehicle, as you also purchase your vehicles with a maintenance plan. Secondly, you might also have internal garages, such garages, also servicing vehicles. And thirdly, you might have a such garage outsourcing your vehicle, for instance, a gearbox problem of Nayala, which is a major issue, will then outsource because our people cannot. Now I get back to Mr. Marcus' question. Nayala repair process, slide number 66. Minor repairs currently performed at such garages where such workshops are available. Minor repairs. Secondly, minor repairs where such workshops are not available, as General Cruiser referred to for an IALAS, and major repairs on IALAS are outsourced through a specific contract, RT46, which does certain things. Then, thirdly, also says, currently in process to negotiate a fixed contract with DAE Land Systems and OMC to repair in IALAS above the 9 unit. 9 is part of the 200. Before the elections, we said, if we maintain the 200, it would be sufficient, at least at the time. Now, having said this, we are the first to say that when you centralize, one would also try to announce. Now, you are very well aware of centralization, virtual leader, decentralization. There could be pros and cons on both models in this regard. We believe it will make a difference as we are going along in trying to refine this. I'm coming back now to the chairperson's issue. The chairperson says, somebody must monitor and see to it that these things that go to grass come back in sufficient or adequate time so that you have the legal strength. Yes, sir, I think they are also in the motion. That's why we have also included, and I see slide number 23, the kind of report, availability report, which we will then say, these are the number of vehicles you have in your province. If we take all the job cards, you'll see there's an availability threshold. Now the availability threshold for Mpumalanga at the time was 85%. We always say we must be above 80, and it may be that we even increase it later. Those are the typical reports that a vehicle fleet manager, and we do have a vehicle fleet component, and also vehicle fleet manager, the designated person in the province, must monitor to say, I'm dipping below 80, or I've got so many vehicles that are currently for such a long time at certain garages, and then we'll follow up. If I do that by saying so, and that must be done, and should even be in all of these certain vehicles.
But General Skitter, with all due respect, that graph is all vehicles. I mean, we're talking about the Yalas, so that's definitely...
I'm coming to the Yalas. The principle will remain the same. Me or anybody as a vehicle fleet manager, you will certainly also look at your vehicles that you booked out to garages in your vicinity and they have to follow up. This is also one of the big and the whole works of the county system with a lot of data. So all I'm saying is the data is actually available when you booked out and what you still need to get back. So the monitoring is a very important aspect. I'm basically emphasizing that point.
Honorable Mark wants to come in there.
Thank you, sir. Not that we are being hard on anybody, I should think here with the top study ones to all not satisfied. I wanted to comment on slide number 23. I think it's not healthy, because here, as the chairperson is saying, we are talking specifically about this is the overall thing. Means it's including Unos, it's including Quantums, it's including which can do some other job. The 89, the 90, is including all the fleet that is there, which is irrelevant to crowd control. The core of crowd control, one man. But the percentage is for every vehicle, even the Unos are in that percentage, which is definitely relevant for cops.
This is a chairperson, with your permission. This is here to indicate the kind of report that is available. Such a report shall also be available for instance for SU Cops.
But you see, Cyril, that's our problem.
And it can also be available for instance, you will be able to see the kind of vehicles also if you talk Nayala. I'm just narrowing it down, I'll start it overall and then narrowing it down.
Because our problem is when we engage with the Major General and the Brigadier, who was dealing with that in the province supply chain, they couldn't provide us with the relevant information. So if you're using that system, there is a management problem. General Cruiser?
Sir, we have fleet managers at provincial station and unit level, Harvey Border, and that unit have his own fleet manager. I think we started to get success around the issue of mechanical services. I think we and the best committee wants to have a national conference where we integrate fleet management. I think we need to up again around the management of the fleet itself. So what the fleet management should have been picking up, I have so many high vehicles, three broken already, now the reaching to London, our point of availability, and indicated to us. Because when we got the report, there were vehicles everywhere at the garage we said, this is the latest report which is before we came. From the 13 vehicles, this is the last two were supposed to come out of the garage itself. So all 13 vehicles are available itself. So the fleet managers manage that thing constantly. Even while we're in the province, we can get national to send from the surplus of the 300 vehicles to the province itself. So we need to, I think, up our game around the issue of fleet management itself, which we are working very hard to be, I think, we try to get the garages up and going, but I think we need to manage, which we don't manage the fleet. The garages will not manage the amount of abuse of vehicles at the moment. So. But I definitely, that's the slide of the report. We indicate you the province's availability in terms of the armored vehicles, as on the as was yesterday, I find it myself. There are 13 vehicles in the province, 3 caches and 10 yards. Only 2 were in the garage, which supposed to be coming out yesterday itself. So we managed to deal with the issue of that.
And then we close the
little thing. You will see there's another slide. If you were a workshop in Edinburgh, you were immediately able to use on that system. And money management from that trip to see, I've got 39 external, 37 internal, that goes to 66 people in my workshop. Then you must do the follow-up. You must do the M&E, the monitoring and evaluation. So I just would like to indicate that the system that is comprehensive information. Just maybe, it's one thing to answer also, because I'm trying to address just a question. In the sense that whether vehicles are available, sufficient. So we have a general ratio that we're working on. You very well know, you measure every year in our performance indicator. Then we also apply that ratio to provinces. In the past, there were two provinces that were trying to enhance our vehicles. It was Free State, by the name of General Kruger, and it was Mpumalanga. We wanted to increase the ratio. What we say, in general, if you look at the ratio, it's adequate. Even if you look at the province in most instances, it's adequate compared to the overall national ratio. But there are ratios that are a bit worse off compared, for instance, Rippetakers, way down for instance compared to Free State. And we're trying to get those more equitable of nature, and therefore we enhance certain aspects. It might, but there seems to play a role. The kind of vehicle you purchase, if you buy more expensive vehicles for the normal case, your unit cost is higher, and you buy probably a bit less for a certain amount. If you do it in Gauteng, you buy more three kind of vehicles on RT37 and not so many 4x2x4s, which have a higher unit cost, you buy it at a lower unit cost. Therefore, from such as Gauteng, you can maybe buy a cheaper kind of vehicle, but at the end of the day, buy more vehicles. But the fact of the matter is, that's also a methodology on its own. I don't want to go into to answer your question. Do they have enough? We think they're credible, but in the case of Mpumalanga, we still want to improve even beyond our standards, as well as Free State. The others are in line with our national ratio.
Can I just ask
you,
what is that national ratio again?
1 to 3.1 is to 4.51.
Pumalanga is at 3.99. But we still want to improve there. Okay, it's just the last thing I want to say on the show Pumalanga. Now say at the moment I have a garage. Due to the fact that the previous garage were locked out and the tenant didn't want to renew. Probably that's got now right a new building. He's busy fixing insulation in the new building. From the 1st of April the building will be handed over to us and we'll then have a full-time garage. Now, so we are but short in terms of what the space is in there. So we do mean outsourcing in our space. That's what the first way of the garage will be open in our place.
So to wrap up the resources stories, let me say, first let me deal with issues of our capital plan. Our yellows are very, very old. They are 20 years old. And They're more than 20 years. This 20 years was almost maybe the last frame that we are seeing, average therapy. I do want to indicate that they're a very expensive commodity. Can I say how much is one yellow?
I think last time we did the consultancy of the AG was in the vicinity of 2.8 million yellow.
Yes.
That's
right.
More. But a couple of
about million. 7 million.
And remember, colleagues, that worked very hard in the past 2 years.
Yeah.
So they go in quite frequently.
Yeah. So I want to say to the committee that they appreciate the challenges that are before us. We would need to really look into our resources. And whilst we are talking about the high value, take those high value commodities, needs that we're having. We're not just sitting with that one. We're needing with also having to come in with a replacement of our air wing fleet, the helicopters. So that also is in the pipeline. Also looking at our maritime capital needs. So we are really having to look at how we have the process that keeps the business going. Once we are realizing that there is no way that the government is able to give us extra resources to go into heavy, acquisition programs. That's issue number one. But also I want to say to you, through the memorandum of agreement that we signed with CSIR, our concept is very advanced and looking at locally produced start equipment, our second generation Yala, the design, the processes of looking into that one, that is very advanced, and we're looking forward to see if I've shared with you in terms of the second generation learners. I also would like to acknowledge, Chair, what you put across. You said management could be communication. I would say this new turnaround that we're taking forward would need to back it with a lot of change management. And this is why General Cruz had mentioned is that one of the first processes we're going to have a National Garage Commander Conference, where we just want to just say, hope with us, with the vision that we're taking, understand the needs at a local level and look at how we shape the state management process around the general strategy of the RIDES. But it's a tight process, and I also want to refer to what General Skeeter has mentioned to say how do we find a smoothened process in terms of the repairs of the piano, the minor repairs in our garages, use the RT46 where we can, as well as ensuring that we have 8 dedicated suppliers, like the process that is talking about on the PAE. That is one of the things we agreed on, to ensure that we can have a dedicated supplier and attend the yellows and who can have a national footprint to assist us also in dealing with yellows. So we know the issues that have been raised. I just wanted to summarize today, you know, the how we appoint a session or dealing with this next.
Yeah, I think general what's going to be very important for the committee, you know, we need assurances of the operational management of those equipment. For instance, the issue of cell phones were also raised in ADVU and other microphones and so on, and there was different answers given to us by the delegation there from supply chain. So, you know, I think much more stricter control, but I've heard you with regard to, well, POPS is managing the movement and so on, but I didn't get a clear indication that there's a weekly monitoring of that by POPS National. I'm not clear about that.
Let me ask General Mowen and General Anandine to talk about to further century what we said and to look at the gaps on the issue on the responses that they've been identified. General
Anandine. Chairperson, yes, it's true. The systems are there, but there's no daily monitoring that is effective because it shows itself in your position to interview. In reality, we have a mobilization support that is lined within operational response services, exactly for that purpose. Those special yards that we have, that we employ when we go to specific areas, for the Mulela as a specific example. The reality is that we should get those people to monitor it. Now, what's currently happening, a province would send their vehicles in for service and repair, understanding that it might be a 2-day or 3-day comeback, which is not the case necessarily. They then apply to General Mawela to come and say that now I realize that Nyalas are not coming back. There's a burning issue that we need Nyalas, because remember, day-to-day management of public protest, which is the vast majority, they would not need a Nyala on the vehicle. They deal with it with normal off-the-shelf, commercially available vehicles. Then they realize because of, let's say, public violence in the area, that they would need that. What we do then, we dispatch them to our mobilization support Nyalas from Pretoria to go and assist. But it's based on a specific request then. But we should do then is to monitor it ourselves. The moment we see that it's below the threshold, we should then be ready to mobilize vehicles until such time that the vehicles will come back from the garages and then remove those vehicles and get centralized. So we take the point, which is definitely something that we have to set up within our own division.
Honourable Mulabachi wanted to...
Yeah, sure, this is very worrying. We're sitting with the topmost structure of our here, and we are told there is no monitoring. It's very worrying. Why don't you have characters in place to monitor this? Thank you.
Do you have other responses?
Yes, can I try to answer that way? Honorable members, we monitor, but we are being asked here to talk about the localized management and monitoring of the local process. What we are being asked is to say, if indeed we are talking about economies of scale and utilization of resources that we have available in the product shops at the national unit, what is it that we are doing to ensure that there is national surveillance? So I think to put it the way you're putting, especially that there is a complete void. What General Alandin is saying is that we can do more than just responding to requests to ensure that we get over and above the reactive responses at the national surveillance. We do what is what you would start here to start saying that if we use two such a response, even of another, we will lose.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I think I learned myself from what the National Commissioner is saying, just to clarify that, you know, we respond when the request that we are running short of these resources, and then from our mobilization center we normally dispatch the issues that we complement. And what General Amendment was saying that we can do more, maybe we do, to complement the local commander instead of relying on them to tell us that, you know, I'm running short of resources. We will also ensure that we have that daily monitoring, check what we have every day, and also that we can be proactive in terms of dealing that we're dealing with this. And we are also represented at provincial level. We have what we call them the provincial HQ workers, commanders, who is dealing with the provincial commissioner, who must also ensure that they keep the provincial commissioners informed about all the activities within the area of responsibility. If there is challenges or whatever, something which needs to be escalated to us, and then they ensure that they bring the provincial commissioners. But surely, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Member will also ensure that we do this double monitoring instead of relying on the people on the ground to keep on informing us or to see some requests. Thank you, Honorable Chair and Members.
Honorable Bailey, you want to
thanks, Jay. Just on this point about local monitoring and local management of resources, I remember I asked a question when we had that meeting at Patient Utilization of, you know, clearly the people on the ground who are having the challenges, and I asked them, do they raise these concerns, and when they see that a particular vehicle is breaking down too often, do they raise these to higher levels and what's the feedback? And the notes I had is that they do make those needs assessments and they have the monitoring, and where they escalate that in order to ensure that it's taken into account for the following financial year's provision and budgeting, they're told that there are insufficient funds, and that was said at least two or three times by different officers, that whenever they escalate points around equipment, supplements, whatever it may be, they're told it's insufficient funds in the provisioning for the following financial year. So my question is, you know, what's the response from the national management about, we were told that the feedback they get when they do raise and they do escalate their needs assessments based on their local monitoring, and if is the kind of feedback they normally get, where is the money going? Because if the basic operational concerns can't be addressed, then is a priority problem.
Chairperson, let me start saying the money that we're given by themselves, the fact that they say text is similar, tells the country that they don't walk to the police station. We arrest them. We put the money to use. We arrest 1.7 million criminals each year as a police. And that's one thing that starts telling you that the resources that were given to put to use. I mentioned earlier on that test, I am having a national diverse commander meeting. Because I'd like us to clearly cross the T's and dot the I's in terms of the responsibilities that we're looking for. It's one thing for them better the members to respond to you. When I meet with them, I'll engage them. If a brigadier tells me that they don't know what to do, then I have a big problem. But I have a director that doesn't know what to do in terms of me at all. So I will take it upon myself to take specifically the responses that was given me from those particular environments, and I'll engage the leaders that I have there. Because they had a responsibility and a duty to do their job. And I have a responsibility of resourcing them. If there are issues and challenges in terms of resources, we'll look at them. And our budget allocation responds to need. It is not an arbitrary process. it is scientific and structured process of allocating resources. And this is why it has been established a finance committee, which did not exist 2 years ago. Because we sit on the table, we look at the plans, we look at the strategies, and we actually, no one can sit behind the table alone and decide how to distribute the resources of staff. We sit with the commanders, we look at the strategy that we present to UK, and we say, this is how we apportion this resources that we've been given to us. Are they, you know, resources that are, you know, many, not quite, we do our best to ensure that the basic job of policy is done in this country. Are there weaknesses and challenges? Yes, there could be, but we'll engage those ones. So I am meeting with this commander. We will look at those issues that they are raising. If they are dereliction, we will deal with it. That localized management is non-negotiable. I can't as a director that actually, you know, franchises responsibility of managing a local environment.
Just to add in this regard, there's a whole bottom-up process of how we obtain input and so forth, and eventually, like I said, it's being compiled and linked. It leads to the ATP and the strategic plan and the estimate of national expenditure, and then they also thereafter also in several portions. What is, however, a fact, sir, we must just keep in mind, is that, and it's not reflecting, and I'm not complaining, but economic scarcity is the principle underlying any economic system. So you don't have unlimited needs because you have limited funds available. Now the next question is to the process, how you go through it in order to determine. Yes, we determine the priorities of government as embedded in the MTSF, SONA, medium to budget policy statements, departmental functions, ATP, and many other 7-point plan of this CJS. There's so many different documents that we utilize also to do it. Now, what I'm trying to say is, and in this regard, this is how I get prioritized the CJS, Family Violence, Child Protection, Sexual Offences Unit, in order to put the false environment that is elevated in deployment. Establish a line item of, I think, 40 million these days for just deploy because of the community protect actions that one finds, and various other aspects. This is how we prioritize to bring down the ratio for vehicles. This is how we prioritize military distance, and I can go on and on and on. But what I would just like to say, within that context of that budget system, you will find sometimes that not all needs, not necessarily priorities, but needs are not met in this regard. But it goes through a health filtering process, signed off by people like CCs and so forth in this regard. And this is how we get to it. So, but we will also recommend, I've been thinking now, what we might also recommend is to maybe to this committee, with taking the liberty to say that in future we need more discussions, maybe for instance on vehicles, we will provide you with reports that you can ask to ascertain also for yourselves. And if you go later to Bosco, you might say, give me part number this and this report. Say this and put on the specific system. I hope it will assist you maybe, and we can write and give you that report. But I just wanted to provide a little bit more context on how we go about in order to arrive at the end of the day. And there's a specific allocation and resources for it. So, and there's opportunity cost. Sometimes you have to have that committee make a decision. Are we going to go this route or this route? Which one is the most important aspect? And we have to do it. We would love to give everybody what they want, but we cannot always and to keep budgets, but we highly decentralized, we've got a lot of people and thank you, Chair.
General Scott, you want to come in?
Yes. Honourable Chair, thank you very much. I just wanted to add to what General Anadale and General Mawela has related to the committee in terms of what the committee has proposed. And we also have the National Crime Combating Forum, which is a national combating mechanism. There again, we identify all the public violence hotspots in the country. And I personally lead a team of all the operatives that are going to the hotspots. We conduct what we call hotspot analysis. And we make sure that we assess the readiness of all the localized role players to be able to address or respond to the hotspots. And that includes the resource analysis that talks to that.
Presently, we do have a meeting that's coming Monday, and in the Monday meeting, we're going to be dealing with four of those particular courts. But this process is going on throughout the country. So, we are just going to fully integrate what the committee is raising, because this is a proactive process for us to know whether these particular provinces are able to respond. They have more than another. And then with the resource management role play, we then have agreed on a resource matrix, because when we come back, we also engage them on the resource matrix to say this particular unit in this college is dealing with the public water maintenance in this way and this way, but in terms of the resource matrix, that just can be addressed them immediately. And that's what I also see demanding. It's operational and speak. So it's linked directly to the local process. Thank you.
Thank you for that, gentlemen. The other responses?
Sure, thank you very much. I think now we need to move into issues at the rate that are dealing with largely what is happening in the Kruger National Park. All the you touched on a number of those, as well as the better and stuff. In this area, let me start off by saying there is what I would call internal sub-intervention response. And in that area, you're going to find multiple role players within sub playing a role. At the top of the list, we would have a GCCI, which is looking into levels 4 and 5. Because I'm introducing this against the backdrop of saying when we deal with issues of rhinos, there is a supply and a demand dimension. The demand talks to the end of the value chain where you are saying, who consumes this hog? And those are sitting largely in your level 4 fast. Where do these hogs go to? On the supply side, you're looking at levels 1 to 3. Those are your remnants, the people that are being used, paid to kill and to get off on, and to hand them to those, the little people that will take it to the end of the process. So GPCI is playing at the high-end space. That's rule number one. Rule number two is when the detectives through the National Intervention Unit, they are looking at the supply side of issues, levels one to three, and that's where we've got in the National Intervention Unit, and General Moon will talk to them. Then we have our crime intelligence that supports all of them. It supports CPCI, it supports detective, it supports RISPO, who I'm coming to also. In the park, we have a station. The station is looking at the crime prevention side of it. And the station is being monitored as part of the stations that are in Mpumalanga. So that's where RISPO also plays a role. It's a fourth role player in the area. Then we have specialized units that give support on operations at whatever level that it is. So those are the five key role players that are internal. Outside this process, there are a number of external partnerships that we get into. The first one, I would say, the one that we share, the one that we coordinate through NetSense, there is a priority committee that deals with the issues of rhino. It brings all the relevant departments together so that we can work together, whether it's environment, whether it's, you know, home affairs, all those that are affected by this rule. So through that next priority committee, we work together on this one, and General Owena will talk a little bit today. But then we have other platforms where we have bilateral engagement, in particular with the Department of Environment. There's a lot that we're doing together, and where we're working with other NGOs that are playing in the space of assisting the country around issues of the rhinos. And then we have the court also that we're working very closely with. So that I would want to put the two dimensions so that as we respond, we'll be able to respond to those quite a lot. And we should not forget that KNP is in Mpumalanga. So around Mpumalanga, all the stations that are in and around that place, and the road that General Magadela and in Mpumalanga keep, estate is quite vital beyond just the station that is in the KMP itself. To that end, then let me ask General Munu to start dealing with the issues that have been raised around the National Intervention Unit to check. You raised the issue of the fact that probably immediate response, but more resources required and more participation by our own players. There was a question also from Honorable Martin to say it's one thing to talk about interventions within the park. What are we doing to talk about, you know, to deal with intervention from south of the park in order for us to be less reactive and be more proactive? I think those the role of intelligence has been underscored by all these areas. So let me ask General Munu to start. DPCI, you'll also make an input, General Mawela and General Magadela, in terms of our peaceful intervention and other relevant institutions. General Munu.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, good morning. Honorable Chair, when it comes to the park itself, the reactors, initially our focus in July was focusing only inside the park. And we established the starting in order for us now to look at a long-term solution. The short-term was to establish the task team. In the establishment of the task team, we did not at that stage think that the problem would become great. If we look at where we started initially with two members. But we are sitting now with, if you look at the north and the south, we've got 10 members. It is still, we are still growing on that. We then we're successful in terms of handling the reactor part, as we say, as we specified, as far as we said. We started a process now where we appointed a captain, another member outside the park, to look at the proactive side of it. When I talk about the proactive, we looked at the people that are committing the project in the, and in the presentation you would see that we had great success in disarming a lot of people outside of the back to the proactive side of what we did. We are still not there. We now decided that we need to increase the capacity outside due to the amount of successes we had outside. In March we will begin in order to see whether what other human resources we would require. From the past, well, let's say we started in July, so we are around 8 months ago. After 1 year, the idea is that we would have enough information to establish a permanent capacity within the hub, which would be, we would have a commander with members dealing with all the incidents of rhino poaching in the north and in the south. We also looked at, we are dealing now just with the park, but we know we have problems also out of the park. So the next phase is also to look at the places outside the park, like KZN, Northwest, to see what intervention we need to put in place in those areas. The resources we had, initially difficulties with resources, we utilized resources from national, from the national investigation unit. We have now procured 4 land cruisers that is going to be used tonight, 2 up north and 2 in the south. We've also withdrew 2 rhino, I don't know what we call it, but rhino bikes that we would utilize in the south to get quicker to scenes. But it's like a quad bike, but it's not a quad bike. It's a side-by-side seater. For the purposes of utilizing in the park, so previously it took us almost 2 to 3 hours walking to climb to. The honorable members were fortunate that they couldn't go climb to. But at times we walked 2 to 3 hours to climb to. With the quad bike, it takes us half an hour to get to the scene, so we're able to get quicker to the scene. In the same, during this financial year, we have now procured other resources like your satellite phone that would be delivered, camping equipment, because we want to try and see that we need to be more proactive as well. Although we were largely reactive, but there is a whole list of equipment that has been procured that will be delivered. We are also, in order to try and do linkages of cases, we've now got a dedicated capacity, if I may call it a capacity, that's the Coronary Kind of Brokers, that we'll be looking at all the cases that we generated in the park and outside the park. We, as the Honorable Committee found that we do have a problem when it comes to liberation, to getting enough intelligence, and that's one of the issues that we've discussed with the head of crime intelligence, to see that we maybe need to get more capacity outside the box, not inside the box, because we need to stop the police from coming into the box. It does not help that we arrest them after the crime is committed. It is not something we want to do. So that is the issue that CI is addressing in order that we get the required intelligence. I must say that the members of PCI, the Environmental Crime Investigators, have a lot of intelligence to be utilized. A lot of their intelligence has led to the arrest of the perpetrators outside the park. If you look at the firearms that you see, the person that's arrested. We still have a problem in terms of some prosecutors, as we said, that do not take this crime very seriously. We have some very good prosecutors. If you look at the sentence alone, it shows you that some of the prosecutors are well on board with these cases. But because these cases are not only situated in the park, it's also the park sits on a Wednesday only. And there's cases outside Wednesday go to other courts outside the park, like Avenue and White Door. What I can say, we are on the road, we are on the journey, we are not where I would like us to be, but the success is also itself. We need to start now looking at addressing the higher economic, the network at this stage.
Thank you very much, Anomulu. Let's take a break for 10 minutes, then we come back for the other sponsors and further on. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know.
Settle down that we can continue with the responses from SAPSA. I think DPI as well as Scrum Intelligence are the next ones after General Munu. So if we can have those responses and then another round. We also want to welcome the DG of Public Works and his colleagues. We also have got honorable members from the Public Works Committee. We also introduce them as soon as we will arrive at that item. So maybe just to indicate you guys started with the responses from the other non-workers. Yeah, as I indicated, the next response is I think it's from BBCI and Crown Intelligence, and then we'll go to the members again. Thank you. Thank you, National Commission.
Thank you, Chair. I'll ask the General Intelligence just to talk about this year, putting the intelligence issues of the test. How they support you.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, good morning. I want just to compare with General Moon that in the same intervention unit, DPCI members are also included, Chair. DPCI now and Chief in regards to Kruger National Party, they are working together. And I hope we're going to get more results now. In terms of level 4 and 5, is where my focus now is now. I have taken a decision last week that I'm going to send now dedicated members from the DCI from National Office to attend the issue of Kruger National Park. Thanks.
Let me ask Senator Mawena to deal with issues of specialized youth and then from the Denver and I'd like to deal with the station in Cadence. And then I will try and my General Mawela, if you can deal with specialized units, and then we call and come back and deal with the partnership intervention.
Thank you, General. Honorable Chairperson, honorable members. Firstly, the current operational model which we have developed, it was based on the fragmentation which we have observed in that operational area. Firstly, fragmentation and solo approach within the department, and also solo and fragmentation with our partners operating in that area. We started by replicating what we have at national level, we call it the network, so that we have the similar structure at the park. We have also observed that park, big as it is to the size of Israel, is also policed by two provinces, Mpumalanga and Limpopo, whereby Mpumalanga will continue to do what they are doing, and Limpopo will continue what they are doing. As a result, there was no sharing of information by these provinces about what is happening inside the park. So we developed that operational model by starting with establishing a structure which it will coordinate all the forces inside the park. And that structure, we said it must be based at school, whereby all the role players have to meet on a daily basis to exchange information, agree on the deployment, daily deployment, concentrating on those identified problematic areas within the park. Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, the issue of intelligence is one of the biggest problems inside the park, whereby we have those few crime intelligence operators who are collecting and sending the intelligence or information elsewhere, going to find that the people operating inside the park didn't know what it does they have. We have state security which is operating there, also collecting information and intelligence service elsewhere. We also have defense intelligence operating there. So the new operational model, we said we need to establish what we call it an IDC, comprising of all the intelligence committees. They must meet on their own, they must analyze whatever information they've collected, and they must ensure that they screen the people who, operational people who will now unleash their intervention teams. We also observed that there were other private people who are operating as intelligence or information collectors on behalf of SANPARC. They collect us information, whether the information goes, we don't know. But we have tried to close that gap to ensure that whoever is collecting information, whoever is having intelligence, they want to channel it to this IPC, so that these are the people who are doing the people. Again, we used to deploy on ad hoc basis, in training from national level, just sent team of police officers, boom, they got an operate there. We are involving local people, Limpopo and Pumala. So it created a problem because of once the funds are running out, we withdraw, there's nobody who are sustaining the operation. So what we have done right now, we have said, we need a local commander. The general commander, a full channel who's going to ensure that he runs the day-to-day operations which are happening inside the park, and ensure that whether we came from national or elsewhere and operate, but there will be an institutional memory from the local person who will ensure that he carries all these initiatives to all the teams which are deployed there. The issue which was also raised to say that we are rotating members, this is through Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, because of the two provinces didn't have the capacity to can do those ones. They don't have, firstly, the intervention needs, they don't have the special support. Obviously, they need to be taken from elsewhere to be deployed there. And we rotate them on a regular basis. Currently, we have agreed on a 3-month basis rotation. This one, they move out, they come to another one, and then just like this. But also to ensure that when we bring in the new one, there is a week-long period for overlapping, whereby they're going to transfer whatever information and modus operandi which they've gathered on the ground to the new people. General, they will go into detail to say, how are we deploying all these people inside the specialized units, the helicopters, the also the inside deployment and outside the deployment. We're working to details around that. And again, in partnership or through the leadership of Department of Environmental Affairs, I hope or maybe believe that honorable members may have observed for the past 2 weeks, or it was last week, the Minister of Environmental Affairs had a press briefing, whereby she announced the 13 members who are going to do certain things. We are also part of that. We have been given the responsibility to deal with this disruption operation and organized crime and so forth. So that team of us is not only comprising of law enforcement agencies, but we also have some academics, we have some specialists from elsewhere, the private crime owners and so forth. We are sitting around the table, all of us as a collective, and come up with new methods. After we observe that, to do one thing all over again, it doesn't necessarily mean that it will bring a different result. So we need to come up with new methods. How are we going to disrupt the whole operation of rhino poaching? So, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, through you, if I can allow General Andes to go into detail about our activities. Yeah?
Yeah, thank you. I think maybe if we can also have a response with regard to the issues I raised earlier in terms of what the members need, night sight capabilities of the helicopters, the communication problem in the park. I mean, that is the satellite, but I mean, there's no unified communication capability currently. So if we can get just assurances that those will be addressed, that's very important.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. General Morella has mentioned that in the past 4 years, this is now the fourth operation that we are involved in terms of an ad hoc basis. We have moved in with the understanding that we will go and stabilize, and then based on that stabilization, we withdraw. We have come to realize, as General Wood has mentioned, that we are not stabilizing. Whilst we're there, we control it. We can see the effects, and I'm sure you've been pretty brief in terms of the number of incursions and the number of carcasses, and you can see their lines, how they are separating. So it just shows that whilst we deploy there is definitely the impact that we're making. I think I also want to mention that obviously we have limitation in terms of the capability within the Special Task Force and the National Intervention Unit. You know that we have 3 Special Task Force units in the country with very limited numbers. It's just difficult training. There's very few people that are successful in terms of that. They are the only unit that have the capability to operate in a rural environment, given the specific threats. And the threat in this case is not only in terms of rhino poachers, but wildlife is a definite threat. The National Intervention Unit, there are 4 units in the country. You will understand that there's a huge demand in terms of these members, in terms of we have them deployed in the cities, we have them in terms of gangsterism, in terms of cash in transit, assisting the DPCI and various other detective units in terms of high risk profile interventions. So within those limitations, we are going to increase. We will increase the National Intervention Unit operating 3 teams. Currently, they're operating from the Antigua and Columbia area. They're also successful, and I'm sure the chairperson that you can read in terms of the successes that they've had in the short time that they've been deployed. Not only in terms of tactical intervention, but also in terms of the information officers that they have. So we want to increase that in terms of having a unit operating from Palaborba, as well as one operating from Kumasi. Chairperson, you have been briefed, I'm sure, in terms of the different tactics that they have, and in an open forum, I'm not going to go into that detail. Suffice to say that, yes, we have disruption tactics. We have observation flow that we have. We are looking in terms of incursions, we would call it a spoor. We have reaction teams and response teams. We have not dedicated resources specifically to the Kruger National Park. The members that we have are operating with the resources that they use in their day-to-day. However, we are now dedicating resources specifically needed within the environment. We have 4 Land Cruisers that by March they would have been refurbished. So those vehicles will be utilized by the Special Task Force that when they go into the bush area that they will be able to set up camp and be self-sufficient in terms of specific time period that they can operate from the vehicles. As you would know, there is forward deployment areas from where they deploy, and then this will then further it so that they can operate in the field. We've also procured that they currently have in terms of thermal energy, I think 5 systems, and night sight, I believe 6 systems that we are evaluating in the area, and then in this financial year, based on the feedback that we will get, then we will go and procure more of solar systems or then enhanced systems based on their feedback. Chairperson, in the longer term approach that we have is obviously to have a permanent deployment there, but by that we're not saying that we would want a special task force unit or a national intervention unit. We firmly believe that the approach is still to have people on detached duties. It keeps them vigilant so that we can have people that is not, it becomes the next to routine task in terms of daily deployment. So it will be police officers that will probably go into 2 or 3 or even 4 stints during a year in terms of the 3 months deployment. We also, our longer term approach is that this is the ideal area where we can enhance their rural capabilities in terms of training. So once we've established a full-time base there, we will also utilize that area so that the members that we do in terms of the enhanced training, that we will have the opportunity, because there's no better environment to actually also teach them those skills. Because I think that is, communication, that's a huge challenge. When we move in, they will go put up repeater systems so that we can have communication. Due to the vastness of the area, as you move, because we focus in a specific area based on the rhino poaching statistics that we get, the moment you move, then our radio technical people must go and set up repeater systems elsewhere. This is not an ideal situation, but it was based on us going in ad hoc. So the investment is just such that obviously we go on the longer term and the more permanent deployment that we can do that investment in terms of communication. I just mentioned that the air wing, we have also as part of detached duties, we rotate our pilots. When we go on the longer term, we will have to go in terms of facilities for our machines so that we can also have proper facilities for our pilots. Currently we have a challenge in terms of the availability of aircraft due to the demand that we have throughout the country. But should we not have a specific machine deployed and attached specifically to that, Nelspet Air Wing is then on standby to actually supplement that through choppers, but also in terms of fixed wing, because part of our disruption activities entails then the utilization of fixed wing aircraft for deployment and movement of personnel, but also in terms of parachuting into the area. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. I just maybe a follow-up regarding the 4 and 5s and the members being further on. I welcome the announcement that there would be a dedicated hawk team also deployed. I think that's a very good move, and that will complement the ability of the current team. But the issue of the neighboring countries, and I've referred to that, I know it's sensitive, because
in our discussions there with SANPARK and various role players, they say they know the kingpins across the border. It's well known. They know the people, they know the dresses, everything. It's an open secret. So from a regional point of view, are we going to sharpen our approach to ensure that we address that issue through Interpol or the regional organization? I just want to get some assurances on that as well, because we can bring in 4 and 5, but if we don't do it from a geographic point of view, collectively, we're not going to be successful.
See, on this one, I would like to be assured that there are some things we are doing, but we can do more. The TASCO, the cross-border intervention that we jointly engage upon with the sister countries, but as the chair of TASCO, current chair of TASCO, I'll prioritize a discussion on this letter to ensure that we can tighten up current arrangements and improve our output in terms of this matter. I would also say, hasten to say, it took a time to see issues from a common vantage point, because I recall one of the discussions we were having, for instance, with Mozambique, was that when there is dispute on those that the poachers, they were feeling like they would argue that we are subject where they to shoot animals and we are shooting at people. So those points of discourse were also addressed through that. So we will intensify that through Interpol. Interpol chairperson, we note your concern and we will give more focus on that, and we will give continuous feedback on how we're tightening the process in that particular area. Also, Chairperson, to raise on the issue of communication, indeed, we will try and work together to ensure that we tighten those processes. At some point, I'm sure when we come to present our technology management strategy framework, you will see how we intervene in that space to ensure that our radio communication may have a solid blanketed strategy that assists us to be able to communicate with each other better. So that should also be covered in terms of those. But before we go on, can I just ask the provincial commissioner to talk a little bit about the station within the park and how it was recovered?
Just to be a follow up, just on the normal, but see, it's also follow up. Let's just get to follow us, because I'm in the next 10-20 minutes, I just want to move to with public works here that we move to them, but I must also be here that we deal with that. Yes, Honourable Mulabatsi, and then I'll recognize other members.
Thank you, Chair. It's just a follow up regarding the question that I raised about General Moon.
Right, just ask questions. Yes. Chairperson, I don't expect to get
that now, just seeing that the general have indicated that they have a challenge in terms of intelligence gathering and that they need to close the gap in that area, and they have another organization that's also involved in the intelligence gathering, and they agreed with this. I think that is an indication of the trust relationship between the police and the community in that particular area. That's why you are not getting the information. My question to you is, how relevant is the data integrity that you are gathering in terms of the rhino poaching, and how will you deal in the future to build that trust relationship between yourself and the community? I say yourself, I mean the police. But you as a person, but the police. So that's the one area. The other area to assist you is the involvement of the community police forums in that particular area, and the means of having regular public meetings. It might be perceived that you are not getting information, but it will really assist you if you are having regular community police forum meetings, and then also meetings with stakeholders that is not involved in the CPF, but then they can make a meaningful contribution towards addressing crime, the escalating of crime in the area. Now my question is,
I don't know, are you speaking on behalf of overseeing the data collection in general at the national level, and the data that needs to be confirmed and the reliability of it is it really reliable, and on a daily basis, is the system known to others within that operation that you have in the park? That is my question, Chairperson. While I was quickly on the floor, in the Western Cape, Woodstock Police Station, a police officer's wife was raped in his house, in his presence. Chef said done nothing about it. I would like you to follow it up here.
Thanks for that, Honourable Justice. I think maybe just in terms of protocol, provide that details, you know, to the National Police, that's fine. Honourable Berry, then I've got Honourable Molopachi.
Thanks, Chair. My follow-up is on the 3-month deployment issue that was raised as part of the, you know, the operational elements of the party. And my question and concern is whether or not 3 months might not be too short a deployment. And I'll tell you where that comes from. This is a very specialized environment. And I think there's gaining experiential knowledge is a key part of success. And so I wonder if 3 months is not too short for someone to be deployed, start getting into the rhythm, come to grips with all the complexities of the work of the top team, then they should go somewhere and somebody else comes in as a black slate, and now they must start all over again. And even on a more mundane level, the committee was fortunate to be there at the Kruger Park. We were told at a fairly cool time. And that temperatures, I think General Moon actually was telling us that it could get much, much hotter and much more unbearable in those conditions when you have to work outside. So, I mean, I can only think, speaking for myself, if you get there at the heights of summer, it would take you just a week to learn how to breathe properly while working in that environment before your mind can even get properly on the task. So I'm just wondering, would something along the lines of 12 to 18 months deployments not be more effective to allow the personnel deployed to gain the experiential knowledge, have the acclimatization, and sort of, yeah, make all of that work more cohesively?
General Bailey, is that number 8? Can you just introduce yourself? Sorry, I didn't get you.
Chairperson, I'm Member Mendy. Having a major concern with what I wasn't here earlier on. Firstly, I had during the introduction by the National Commissioner that we have the top commander or commissioner as well as the SCM commissioner. But listening to the deliberations and the responses thereof from the sub side, my worry is in terms of resources is the rate of accidents with the vehicles of staff. And looking at the ratio here, that 2:1, it's not the case, because if you go, for instance, in Khayelitsha, you would be told that in Harare, it's a very big country. There are only 2 vans operating the area. The rest of the vans are not available. So that on its own is the one factor. With the sentiment that was shared by my colleague over there, that there isn't proper mechanism in terms of monitoring of resources. So can we take that into account in terms of monitoring the accidents, because the accidents are caused at different levels and reckless and negligent driving of police officers at times. They have bigger influence and impact on the vehicles and the availability of the vehicles. Secondly, when we talk of resources at SAP, in particular in this case, I'll build up on the point of Member Mbele. When you are doing deployment, resources, the most important is the manpower. How do we then ensure that manpower is taken care of as the employer at SAP? Do we allocate barracks for them? do we look into the conduciveness of the environment for the members, and we check members properly? Coming again to the issue of allocation of barracks in general, commission of SDM.
Sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, but you know, it's program one issues we dealt with. We're going to deal with it in 3 weeks time or 2 weeks time. You know, we can just maybe focus in terms of today's you know, issues. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. But in terms of the allocation of barracks, do we then look at the level of the needy people, like your junior level police officer? Secondly, the Corps Commissioner that is here today, when I came in, my colleague was talking about the issue of testing, which was then set aside for the next committee meeting. But I know for a fact, in terms of Police Act, Chapter 46, I mean Chapter 9, Paragraph 46, it prohibits police in any level to pronounce themselves or prejudice or align themselves with any other political party.
With due respect, we have already taken a stance that we are not going to put this on the agenda because we have an agenda for today.
Yeah, I think maybe...
I'm not going there in terms of saying what happened last week.
Yeah, honorable, maybe if you can, you ask us 5 or 6 questions. I mean, usually I allow 2 or 3. Then let's just speak after that. We also give the other members opportunity. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Now, I'm not going to what happened last week, and I'm not expecting the panel to answer on what transpired last week. But I am only mentioning this in terms of the police and the disciplinary action thereof, because that campaign has issued a threat towards a political president, member of EFF, and encourage others.
Honourable member, please, I think, thank you very much. Let's go to the next members. Honourable Mulabasi, then I've got Marky and Mula. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. One question. The UMX ID, it has replaced Mofitas, am I right? It's in conjunction with Mofitas. How effective is it? Thank you.
Honorable Mofitas, then Honorable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson. I thought it would be the second round, but I think this might be the second round. One question that is very crucial to me, and that I didn't ask that first. Generally, how are members of house, do they stay in barracks, or generally what happens with them? Because what we found in Hayesview is that they've rented in the community somewhere, and I was very surprised. Or a reaction unit staying in the rented bedrooms in the community, which is some villages are 30, 20, 40 kilometers away. How does that work? I mean, do some of them have to be on standby? Or if something happens, then you start phoning them to come running, catch a taxi, or some to be collected? And what if the person is in a tavern or in a bar at that time? So I'm trying to find out, or generally, how do you do that? Because my thinking would be, those that are on duty at that time must be at a certain point. Some can be on standby, knowing that they are on standby. It really doesn't make any sense to me to call a person.
Honorable Marcus, sorry to cut you short, but I think we got the gist. The problem I have is we're out beyond in terms of our program. We've been very liberal in giving opportunities to these members. We must still deal with public list at DG and senior officials that have been waiting since 11. So I'll ask if, you know, if there's certain other questions on this topic, of course, we can come back to it. I just want to know, is there any follow-ups before I give opportunities to discuss Honorable Ramos Akron?
Sure, let me just be brief. The presentation of the general earlier mentioned that they are not allocating additional resources. They're expecting the station there to deal with the challenge. Maybe in the station responding, they should have just get a clarity on that. One listens to the issue about the national park issue. It's really a big issue. Now, if you don't have a sustainable plan in the medium to long term with the resources allocated to it, then you have a haphazard reactive responses. This issue is by and large the intelligence driven operation. So you don't have the resources allocated to that particular area. You then have found wanting to react. So I'm just saying, and I'm mindful that you did not make a presentation, General. You responded to questions. But for me, in terms of dealing with all the issues, it's still that particular issue about the kind of integrated plan, full plan, to understand this is not once-off problem. It's a sustainable plan. That plan should be able to inform the regional intervention plan that we're talking about. At the moment, we're not speaking to that. We're speaking to really elements of bodies. It's disjointed approach to it. So I know, Chair, that there was no presentation, but I'm just saying, let me flip this issue because I think probably we need to come back to as a committee to really understand it. Because I'm mindful of the station and the station resource and the 3 months intervention. This is not going to, you know, it's not going to wipe it off in 3 months' time. So some kind of a plan is required. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is, one, don't you have police who are arrested for corruption in Kruger National Park?
Right, that's the questions. I think maybe just in terms of the sponsors, just on the wellness issues, I think we had two meetings ago, a full briefing on that issue, so I think it's not really necessary. And in terms of, I think, the community police forum, we had a full briefing on that. As for Kuzan, maybe they can just give a brief response to Mr. Joseph because he wasn't a part of the delegation, but I think just to cut that on, you know, just in briefing. Thank you.
Chairperson, there was a question around the role of General Moon. General Moon remains the head of the check, the Lieutenant General there. But the special unit that is there will always require his guidance as we build it and shape it, he will be there. Then that's when we would say to him, go and look at the, you know, executing as a comprehensive manner in KZN. He would go and work with the team there. So he is assisting in the establishment and the embedding of the national the investigation team and in KFC, but he remains in his role. It's not that he's not in his role. He's just reaching out as the head of that unit, championing a particular special group. Chair, let me touch on the CI side. General Mawela has spoken about the RCC, which is looking at bringing all the intelligence structures together. The defense, ourselves, as well as SSA. So what I would like to say is that a number of the issues that I've raised here, just touching back on what Honorable Ramadan has raised, probably some points we would need to come back and give you an integrated approach to the MP so that you can see how all these bits and pieces are dovetailing, and if we are invited, we would be able to do so. Regarding the communities that are around the KMT precinct, I do want to say it's a force who are competing with the senior. some of those communities are, you know, because there's a criminal that's doing a lot for those communities. When we were in the sector, the ICC, and we see what is happening there, they build houses, they do these things for the community, and information collection becomes a little difficult because like, some of even the pharmacies that we're paying, we can't compete with those mega criminals that are operating in those communities. So it is one area that we need to focus on, community outreach and engagement, including the role of the CPS, to ensure that we can gradually start really having an upper hand in this highly competitive space. Because they use the very people that they stay in their houses, they do all those types of things. So there's a lot that we need to do around those communities. It's a very challenging area, and I'm sure the colleagues can talk to them and the intelligence back from the ICC is working very keenly around those type of issues. The payment, I'm sure we take it as a proposal today. Currently, you're dealing with it as a payment experiment, consider extended processes, and I'm sure when we come back, having taken some of the advices and input, we'll be able to look at those type of aspects. But it's important also to note that the people that we deploy, they come from families, homes, so the well-being issues also affect the family that they come from. We take all those into account. The issue around the NEC IDs on the Blue River, the handheld devices. The CSI are currently evaluating the handheld devices that we're having, because as part of our TMS strategy, our technology strategy, we would like to think which devices are we going with, which ones are yielding better, which ones are technologically advanced to fit into the greater scheme of our technological needs. So currently we have limited MECIDs. I think there are about 5,000, but the majority are old MECIDs, and all of them have developed new devices. I know that MECIDs were more, you know, end of line, the one that we bought. So this is why we're getting here. I asked you to evaluate those for us. We just had a session on the day before yesterday. We had a session where we were prioritizing some of those projects that would like a scientific assessment of the tools that were having, so that it can factor in to our technology needs and stuff. So the next idea is at a mobile charge that health devices are some of those. So we would be taking a decision in that space. Honorable Martin raised the issue around accommodation, and I'm sure Senator Mawela will say something also to it. But I just want to say there are two issues that we should take into account. Remember, we have pending POP units that are located in particular areas. So they are there, they are just at the station. So members that are thinking they would be coming from their homes, who will have shifts, who would be able to access them, because they are living in that area next to the POP center. So we make a differentiation between attending center, that's the POP unit that is there dedicated, it is in good grade, and the people we appoint in those would be people in and around that area. The other area would be where we're talking about deployment. If we deploy people and we're saying we're having a KMT deployment, who would go to those various units and ask members to go and spend 3 months in KMT? That's why it is important to keep it short so that they can go back to their families. So I think that's what we try to balance. Even special operators in Lesotho, we then have to go and identify the members and deploy them to a particular area for a given period of the project, so that beginning is for an end, and we can, you know, deploy them like that. So this is why we wouldn't be talking balance for that. When they come, we must make arrangements for their accommodation. It could be hotels, it could be, you know, a university institution that is accommodating them. In that way, that we take the responsibility as such to ensure that they are well accommodated, they are never taken care of, and they are able to take care of them. Otherwise, for normal circumstances, they will be coming from their normal locations. Otherwise, yeah, I just want to say we would engage, should we be invited, to
present to you an integrated view of how all these different pieces to things are addressing the issue in KMP.
Right, is that all the responses? Right, the next topic?
Just the station, I think.
Yeah, sorry, yes. General?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. In fact, I think it was opportune when I reported when I was introduced by the National Commissioner of the Church. And the first question that I asked is that I saw a lot of interventions from the National Office. Then it would mean from our side also we do not actually play our best. Now, if we fail ourselves as the province to play a best, and then there is a national intervention, how to sustain whatever is going to occur in terms of all the interventions from the national office. So that's why I had also some visits, besides the visits I meet with you, in all those areas of concern, the border post, the Kruger National Park, the POP unit, as well as other areas where there was an area of concern. The first question I ask myself, if all activities around us may increase crime, how do I deal with those issues? And then when I went to Kruger National Park, I said, each and every rhino with individual cases, it becomes a problem. It becomes not a good picture for the staffs, besides actually robbing thing, everybody will be involved. Then I was having much interest in terms of saying, okay, then the red intervention is here. How is the problem? To support such interests. That's why when the visitor was moved to the OE, when I interviewed the task force, I interviewed NLU, I wanted to find out what is it that we can do best as a province to support those interventions so that at the end of the day they yield to good luck. And one would agree with me. What we've done from there in terms of also checking the fueling of the doctors, supplying fossil vehicles to the OE, supplying those cell phones, I think talk of the cell phones and supply from the province to have the intervention for the national officials. As of now, all those three sectors, POSCO, the cell phones, they've got four laptops, they've got four digital. Of which I said we must absolutely do it, be it budget or no budget, because you need to address the situation. And head on. Now, coming to the question of what is obtaining inside the park, I could see that the police around there, the police stations are only patrolling around the park, not inside the park. But the problem is inside the park. I wanted to check that. Who are the people inside the park that are delivering this renovation? We need to know them from the perspective of intelligence. Because I cannot understand this. A small group will start coming up outside the park, engaging themselves for the purpose of pushing the different types of Africa outside, collect firearms outside. And they plan, they actually execute the action inside the park. Then thereafter, we talk of foreign experiences, we talk of culture. It means we need to start coming. That is the way I'm currently engaged now with all the crime intelligence sector. I visited the ICC. I mean, with all those sources pertaining to crime intelligence around those activities, I'm seeing an embarrassment from our side that it is, while we have such specialties, we can have incidents of rhinos being killed in part. So it means we need to check ourselves and we check how do we put together intelligence. All of us, be it military, be it police, be it also from the back, so that you can be able to have a balance. Then, the last point I wanted to say, in terms of now, this is the question. All the intelligence that should be collected, I've actually called them already, that we should be having focused on intelligence directed patrols that are going to assist us. Thank you.
Thank you for that, General. We welcome the DG of Department of Public Works, Mr. Lavantu, the DDG, Mr. Mabuza, Chief Director Mabinja, and there's also a member or two of the portfolio committee. Member, can you just introduce yourself? Thank you. Thank you very much. Maybe just the context for today's briefing of public works. During our visit to Mpumalanga, the interesting site we visited, Nelspruit Bridge Station, and when we came to the ground floor, there was two lifts, but one of the lifts was not working. So Brigadier at the station informed us that that lift has been defective for 3 months. 3 months. And when we asked him about the origin of the problem, he said, you know, public works, Mpumalanga. He visited also the border post at Bomu. There was a lot of issues that's been indicated. I think you are aware of that, DG. And also the issues at the various police stations. So the purpose of this meeting is really to get a sense in terms of your briefing, what are current plans of public works in terms of those stations that you are responsible. Also the other projects that is currently problematic, the day-to-day functioning. You know, of the other departments, how can you assist that we improve those facilities, and also in terms of maybe a memorandum of understanding, where are we in terms of that process, and maybe also to get this indication from SAPS, the challenges, how are we going to reach that, because I think last year as well, the issue of public works was also raised, in terms of certain building programs and so on, so I think the purpose is just to get the feedback from public works on a proactive point of view. What are we doing, and then also to give the members opportunity to raise questions with regard to the issue. Welcome, DG.
Before you go, let me just say, I think as the DG up to us, I'd like to hear you this committee that we are discussing this against the context of the establishment of the border management agency. As process that is very, very advanced, where all of us are participating. There are technical committees that have been set up, that are chaired by various participating departments. There are also migration processes that are already taking set as we speak now, from departments to the border management agency. As DGs in the cluster, in contrast, we are looking very closely at that. In fact, the housing ministry being the home affairs, when they read about your business and they read about the issues that were being raised, they actually asked me to request you to invite them to the committee to come and present to you A, the whole philosophy behind the border management agency and the progress that we have made. So I am officially relaying the request that came from DG Afeni, from Home Affairs, who said they would like to come and present to this committee, the Border Management Agency, because me and you are part of that agency, and some of the issues that we'll be giving you are almost different pieces. The Border Management Agency would be able to give a very comprehensive approach in this regard, because that is government's plan to deal in an integrated fashion with all border management issues. I would also say one, if the committee has time at some point to visit the Kavi Center, which is one of the pilots that has been set up here in Cape Town, to start putting to shape what we are envisaging as a future border management agency that involves all of us, health, public works, DHA, and all those. But I just want to put that before you to say, as we deal with this, it's another process that is upstate running very, very fast. What you mean now,
you say? Yeah, Nelson, no, thank you for that, but I think part of the problem is as well, there was 2011 Public Works Portfolio Committee report. I think we distributed them. Some of those issues haven't been addressed. Chefs members have raised that at Lebombo, and it's got to do with wellness, I mean, in terms of facilities for doing their job, and I mean, those issues apart, I mean, in terms of the board, the management agency, of course, we also got briefing from the local chair of the coordinating committee, but we'll invite housing, but I think the current issues that's affecting the ability of SAPS members, this is the upper mind of members of this committee, so we need to address it, and as I said, the example of Philip, 3 months at the Nelspruit police station. We can't have that. So there must be effective plans, memorandum of understanding that we can deal with those issues. Otherwise, it's a very tedious time maybe with nothing happening. So thanks for that. DJ, over to you.
Thank you very much. And the honorable members of the committee for the opportunity. You have already done the introduction of myself. I said that the chief check, the director is not here in the India. We have brought Mr. Amanda, who is responsible, the director for the water issues system. India is in the meeting of Robben Island. The Bamboza is the DDG responsible for key account management. I, with your permission, sir, will request him to run through the presentation. I do hope, sir, we will attempt to address all the issues. You know that the time available, and I realize that because of the size of this portfolio of such, we will not be able to take the injustice of the however, we will seek to address the pertinent issues that the committee raises and take home any of the issues we are unable to resolve and indicate why we are able to resolve. And this is happening in the context of the public works that is seeking to transform itself to turn around and improve the service delivery. In particular, in the resource allocation in line with the size of the portfolio that we have. We have seen one affecting our biggest portfolio with the collective value in terms of just over 2 billion, combining the leases as well as the capital portfolio is big. The number of our leases ranges just above or close to 1,200 at any one point in time, particularly leases that expire. I think in the past 12 years we've done quite a lot in that area. Most of it relates to this having this in place and therefore the actual partition management that the solar system is required. We had quite a big that last year. We've cut that drop to just below 10% of the economic portfolio. It was quite high, I think it was well over 60%. We have been engaging with the hubs constantly, continuous with the developers during the past year, seeking to resolve quite a lot of things that were problematic between the two departments. We still plan to engage in joint planning sessions to make sure that both sides, ourselves and the party, are on the same page. I think without wasting much time, Chair, I will hand over to Mr. Mabuza to take us through. Hopefully, we might have other engagements in the future.
Thank you, DG. DG, you are
welcome. Thanks, DG. Honorable Chair, honorable members. We're going to focus on three specific issues as we structure. The first one is going to be the DGOCC portfolio. The second one is going to focus specifically on the Bongo product holds. And then I will then conclude with the issue of the specific qualification of Heather View and what we are planning to do in terms of that. It's suffice to say, the DJ said, Honorable Chair, that the entire client for 44 file stars, which is worth about 2 billion, would be reserved for another day. I think the first point we're making, that FAPS is one of the user departments that is represented in the land port of entry, and this takes place at what we call the BCOCC, the Border Control Operation Coordinating Committee, currently located in the FAPS offices, and coordinates basically the infrastructure requirements of all user departments that are operating within the border environment. I'm making a specific emphasis here that the border environment here refers to the land ports of entry, not the entire portfolio of border environment, which includes air, sea, and land. It is our view that SAPS, like other private departments, in line with their strategic requirements to say GIAMA, the Government Removable Asset Management Act, will act as their agent in terms of investing on the land cost of entry, improvement of the infrastructure in terms of capital works, maintenance of the existing capital structure in terms of land maintenance. Just to give you an idea in terms of the figures, honorable members, over the next entire for financial year 2015-2016, the budget only for BCOCC, that is the land port of entry, will be implementing about 261 million. For financial year 2016-2017, it will be about 261 million again. For 2017 and 2018, the budget on infrastructure will be 276 million. So over MTEC, about 798 million is budgeted for in terms of improving the country's land port of entry. We now know that it's a common cause that we have got 53 land ports of entry along the borders of South Africa and its neighboring countries. And that is the Department of Public Works. We implementing what we call the REM program, which is a repair and maintenance program for all the 53 land ports of entry. When the glass is broken, whatever the case may be, all those maintenance issues, we use this REM program for purposes of maintenance. And this budget is strictly funded through what we call the digital capital budget. I won't go into the detail in terms of clubs also utilizing some of the facilities like Masamata, Kiren, and so forth and so forth. We have distributed the presentation. So those are some of the facilities that are used by our land department, the South African Forest Service. Of course, in this ECOCC, there are six user departments that actively operate in the land of entry. This includes SARS, the South African Revenue Service, Department of Home Affairs, Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries, Health and State Security. And these departments, as of now, operate under the custodianship of the OCC, which is currently shared by SARS. As the Commissioner has said, in the not too distant future, this function will migrate from the land cost of entry, what is called the border management agency. One of the critical distinctions between the current BCOCC and the border management agency is that the current BCOCC only manages the land port of entry, whereas the current conceptualization of the future DMA is that it will then manage the entire portfolio of South Africa's port of entry, air, sea, land, and so forth and so on. And this will be under the custodianship of the Department of Home Affairs. The current status quo, accommodation against cost of entry, in our view, for functional purposes, is consistent with the requirements of government movable asset management. To say that it is not the same thing as saying there are no problems in terms of maintenance, in terms of housing accommodation, in terms of expansion and maintaining in a sustainable manner, capital infrastructure that we're investing in those land cost of entry. But we're saying that for functional purposes, for the proper function, it is our considered view that this is consistent with the DMA. Currently, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, there are 39 projects that are at the planning stage. This includes, but not limited to, the construction of the borderline patrol roads and fences. One of the priorities that we are having is the construction of the borderline patrolling roads and the fence between South Africa and Lesotho. In the next financial year, we budgeted something like 250 million. This is a result of the court order, which was made against the Republic, the Office of Presidency, the Minister of Public Works, and so on and so forth, because of the top set between South Africa and Lesotho. And we have reached an agreement in terms of which we will be constructing the patrolling road and the fences between South Africa and Lesotho. But it is not the only border where we will be constructing border. It includes all the 39. These roads are currently used by the National Defense Force, Agriculture and Forestry. The upgrading and repair is now considered to be, Honorable Chair, that it will assist the National Defense Force, the South African Police Service, with their responsibilities according to or along the border lines of the park. There are three critical master plans that we are currently being conceptualized and will be processed. One all necessary requirements have been combined, such as the geotechnical studies, the study on the environmental impact assessment program, the funding confirmation, and so forth and so forth. What are these master plans? The first one is
the possible construction of the second Nassau border post between South Africa and Zimbabwe at the Bay Bridge. The second one, it is the Maseru Bridge, master plan. The problem with Maseru, honorable members will remember, it is the mountainous area. Some of the areas here next to the border are at a flat line. When there is inclement weather, it literally overwhelms the border operations. So structural engineers and professional team are conceptualizing the type of intervention and mitigating factors in terms of how, for future stability, we're going to fix the issue of Maseru. And then, of course, possibly. We're currently facilitating, as said, German, Honorable Chair, the requirements from all the user departments with these land ports of edges. The preliminary user department's requirements have been taken into consideration. Future planning and development will be based on the requirements of this user department in terms of how do we conceptualize the modern future, the land port of entry from operations purposes, from security purposes, from clearance purposes, and so forth and so forth. These are matters that have been conceptualized as of now in DCOCC and in future. In the planning process, one of the major challenges, Honorable Chair, Honorable Member, is the question of residential accommodation for the staff that is working in the land port. If you look at Field 3, South Africa and Namibia, at least from Bloemfontein to Gauteng, if you take it from Johannesburg to Gauteng, driving will take you about 16 hours. And if there's no residential accommodation in the border, you are actually expecting those people who are waiting there, so driving every day from work to home, from a staying in Bloemfontein and so forth and so forth. It's simply inhumane. And it's not only the staff that work for SARS or Home Affairs and so forth, it also includes the members of the South African Forest Service. So currently, the projects that are under planning for the redevelopment of residential or residential accommodation includes the work homes of Flowers Bridge, Oshwood, Limombo, Flitzberg, Skelpatek in terms of the actual border operations, the administration office is pretty much closed. The only thing that is outstanding is the second phase of the border, that is the residential accommodation. Skelpatek is between ourselves and Israel. And of course, the Maseru. The projects that are under planning, these projects that I'm referring to, we are dealing with the file clearance for relocation, center of Spiny Park, which is currently located within a wet heritage site. And the development is therefore restricted by environmental laws that regulate what is classified as heritage site. Pahul, which is currently located within 1 in 100 year flood area, which means that 1 in every 100 years there will be floods in that border post. So from operation and sustainability point of view, it is our considered professional opinion that we will have to look at the future relocation of Pahul. The floodline determination project includes those three Zanzibar, Country, Flood Dam, and so forth and so forth. Site clearance for water pipelines is Makati Rest, Level Foot, upgrade for electricity supply infrastructure are those two border holes whereby we can on skip time. So you will see, honorable members, that this portfolio is quite big. And you see that because of this monetary value. I mean, in terms of our budget as public works, this is the single biggest capital budget of all. I'm not talking about that part. And it starts in terms of the budget is about 700 odd million. This specific budget item of our MTEC is 758 million. It's the single biggest budget in terms of capital infrastructure that we're actually executing. Just to conclude on this part, Honorable Chair, we have got as the Commissioner and the Director General has said that there are regular meetings that we have at the political level, strategic level, operational level, and at the technical level between the two client departments and also the client departments that are sitting in the DCOCC. The planning and resolutions that are taken at DCOCC level so that they take into consideration the other issues from other client departments. We will be in March, the 1st of March, convene an infrastructure workshop with all our user departments that are operating at the land cost of energy.
The idea is to analyze, Honorable Chair, in terms of Yama, it is always wise when you run project management or you invest it, when you make investment decisions, that the submission of or requirements of that department must be made 18 months before execution. Otherwise, once they are not made 18 months before execution, there is a probability that there would be very severe under expenditure in terms of the infrastructure. So we then say that the project that you're going to execute in 2016, 2017, you should have concluded planning of those projects now, by February, end of 2016. So that when you go to September, November 2016, you are able to go out for an open competitive bidding process, appoint your contractors for them to assume sites and start construction. But once you start procuring goods and services for purchase of 2016, 2017, by February or March next year, the probability of under expenditure is quite high. And that is part and parcel of the new project management that we are pursuing, right with the CIDB, the National Treasurer, and so on. So this ratio, we are attempting to consolidate the infrastructure requirement of all government departments for 2016-2017, so that by the time we conclude the current financial year, we pretty much know what are the requirements of that department. And this, it is our considered view, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, that all government departments, as they comply with JAMA, they need to submit what we call UAS, the User Asset Management. The User Asset Management says, amongst the main, compares government departments to submit their 3 to 5 year infrastructure program, their 3 to 5 year acquisition program, so that you know that the Department of Public Works, in the next 3 to 5 years, I am planning to build an X number of head offices in Cape Town, in Pretoria, and so on. That will tell you that in 3 to 5 years, I'm planning to either acquire or construct for this year. In terms of our investment decision, there are 4 preferences that we have. Our immediate preference is the state. Is that we must, government department must stay in government-owned buildings. Stop relying on leases, you've got to increase the net assets. The second preference is mergers and acquisition. There is a building that is liquidated, you acquire that building, and then move in a client department. The third option that we have from investment decision, you simply construct, you acquire an existing land, you contract the government. And then the last preference, which we do not like, is a question of moving a government department in a district and paying lots of millions and so on and so on. So that is the first point, Honorable Chair, that we would like to make as far as the instruction that you've given us. I will now focus on the issue of the Bombo in particular. The project of the Bombo, as we know, was initiated, the development agreed to through a memorandum of understanding that was signed by South Africa and Mozambique through the then President of the Republic, President Mbeki, and President of Mozambique, President Yabuza. The plan, the master plan, received concurrent as a preferred model by ECOCC, which was led by SARS, on the advice of international contractors who procured by them. The structure was designed to be positioned on the borderline of the two countries based on multi-level floors to cater for passengers, cars, pedestrians, and all that. And the white part was to cut across the high smoke to lead to the flight clearing facilities between the two countries, especially Mozambique. The main feature formed the original scope of one-stop workflows. South Africa, in that context, will be the first country in Africa to actually implement the idea of the one-stop border crossing. DPW, the Infrastructure Department, developed a design to stage the contract documentation, costing of the design, the layout, and went out on tender. At the time, the one-stop border post is monetary value, comprehensive, that includes the freight part, freight facility, railway station, added to about 1.4 million rand, 2008. upon the saving such submission, we made it very clear that that money does not exist in public works, that money does not exist in national systems. So we will not proceed with how comprehensively the ones who were opposed was conceptualized to include flight parts, flight facilities, railway station, and so forth and so forth. Also, with our discussions with National Treasury, we pretty much made it very clear that there's no way we're going to be able to finance 104 billion of an asset. Because of that argument, and with consultation with all kinds of departments, we took a decision that we will downscale the portfolio of the one-stop waterfall, this 1.4 billion portfolio, and have a temporary structure which I'll come to right now. The first one is the bypass road. The bypass road, Honorable Chair, was developed and completed and held over in April 2010 before the 2010 bypass. Bypass road between Sarape and Mozambique. The government of Mozambique quite completed their part of bypass road. With discussion with the resources and stakeholders, four inspection tunnel points were built to enable the inspection of trucks on routine basis. And these tunnel points were not fitted with any ablution facilities, and I'll come to this point when I deal with the major challenges that we're facing, in the local border. The development of ablution facilities and supporting infrastructure remains not our emphasis in the scope of the next development phases, which is capital in nature. I'm not going to this, it's just the, I'm sure honorable members were there, this is just the teaching of the flight processing area, which as of now through BCOCC, there is evidence to suggest that the traffic congestion that was there before the one stop border for before this event is much better than what we have. Would I provide members with figures in terms of how many hours it would normally take for traffic to pass the level of water pools 5 days ago and how many hours does it take now? This is a pedestrian facility. I'll come to it again when I conclude on this part. The expenditure is just a figure, contingency was about 59. The pedestrian facility was about 15 and 12 respectively. Pedestrian facility is just a depiction of what we have. The future development of the project, just the last two slides of this. One of the major future development of the project, it is to upgrade the perimeter fence. It is to relocate the government behind the garage and the extension of bypass road and truck parking area, including ablution facilities and tunnels. It is to upgrade the current operational and navigation building to process ongoing passenger highways. It is going to convert the old ablution block to immigration building to process and handle passengers. The development of operational building will also follow the joint operation needs of both countries, and this will be under the custodianship of the Department of Foreign Affairs. What is the current way? So there are two critical points we'd like to make here on ablution. There is a second phase of the project, which is capital in nature, which includes, for example, the ablution facilities at the canopies at the entrance of the border, which includes replacing certain. Those things are not maintenance from the asset management point. They are capital in nature. They were included in the second scope of the border post. And I'll explain why, what are the main challenges in terms of not moving into the second phase. Current way is that the border is maintained through rent, the repair and maintenance program. If this is started on the 15th of February 2011, the monetary value of this maintenance work is about 17 million francs. The scope of work includes servicing, the maintenance of the infrastructure at the port, the maintenance of the pedestrian facility, and then, and only when these things are done, we are allowed in terms of occupational health and safety to allow trains to move in there. There are three, four challenges that were identified in the past 2 weeks. Therefore, the first one was the issue of the electricity. There was no electricity in the package, the pedestrian facilities. What our engineers identified was that the reason why there was no electricity was because of the fault of the Eskom line. We needed to control generators with diesel to make sure that the water is flushed. I can confirm now, Chair, that we have dispatched diesel to the water in the Bongo with the diesel electricity supply. The second challenge was the question of the air condition. They were not working. We accept
But I'm concerned that the service provider is on site as we speak, facing the issue of the aircraft. And then, of course, the third one was the issue of certain maintenance work in the ceiling and so forth and so forth. Some of those things, as I said, are capital in nature, and therefore would have to fall under the same things. And some of them are issues that need the attendance. What are the measures anyway? The second phase of the capital works, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, cannot proceed for one major reason, because the consortium, the professional consortium that was dealing with the design and layout of the border, it is alleged that they were involved in a collusive trust in terms of overall underpricing and so forth and so forth. The department took the decision to involve the Special Investigation Unit, properly investigated. But because they had already completed the layout, designs, and so forth and so forth, it is almost impossible for us to proceed with either appointing another professional consortium or alternatively terminating the service of the current one unless we get a recommendation of the Special Investigation Unit being completed and for them to indicate what should be done with the special. So the second phase, what we're saying is that it cannot proceed because of that specific investigation case upon the basis of the alleged collusive practices of the professional consortium. And therefore, the outcomes of this investigation, we hope that it will go a long way in terms of helping us to accelerate the construction of the, or rather the commencement of the second phase of the enterprise. Another chair, let me then conclude just with four remarks regarding Heather's view. Heather's view is used by the public order police, as it has indicated. The condition of that building is not good, because it used to serve as a police station before the new one was actually constructed. So the facility is bad. There's no doubt about that. We have, with our colleague staff, jointly agreed that we need to commence the process of constructing an alternative accommodation for QOP. And that, for all intents and purposes, for financial year 2016-2017, we have to schedule either the construction of an alternative site or alternatively this in a building in an interim process once the permanent solution is identified. So the issue of the view, it is true what has been said, and this is the approach that was taken in terms of Honorable Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think in terms of our time left, 20 minutes, the broader strategic issues is going to be quite difficult in terms of the SAS plan and joint, but I think we're going to be very much operational in dealing with issues that members picked up. So I think we'll arrange another date when the CFO and the National Commissioner comes again. So, let's start the questions. Honourable Malabasi.
Yeah, okay. Hey, I'm very correct. The Portfolio Committee on Public Works on the 24th, 26th January 2011 made some from the site visit that the oversight visit they had, they made some recommendations to say abolition water should be included in the small structure at the Libombo water post to solve the situation of officials that have to walk a distance of 200 meters to a building that had water and abolition facilities. In 2011, we are still there, even now. My next question is, when last did you visit this Hazy Blue Choki building? When last did you visit it? Because it's shocking. And my third one is, how on earth do you expect border control to be effective with broken fences? And it was seen on TV in many occasions where police, the buildings are locked. They must go and work from their vehicles. They must go into the cells and leave themselves. Have this
been addressed. I'm not going to see such things, such terrible things on TV again. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Malubati. Honorable Chitonga.
Thanks, Chair. One question. In fact, this morning when we were coming in the bus, we were talking about the terrible situation of our buildings in general, since as you mentioned it. It was taking care of asking myself whether there is no there's no budget for us, but I realize that there is budget. But what is the problem? That this money which the institution, what is the real problem? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Sitonga. Other members? Yeah. Honorable Sarabana.
I wonder, we were there, we walked through. Now, we went through the development, you've allowed an enormous amount of money. It says in your paperwork there is 100,000 rand a day for maintenance, either in the area or there. And yes, you say the contractors for the aircon are now there because we went there. Those air conditioners are falling out of the sea. Number one of them is going to kill someone. People are queuing in a building in 40 degree heat without air conditioning. Every single one of them was put in a faulty manner. So you've hired some guy off the street who knows nothing about air conditioning. They tell us the price to take the drip water out. We can see it to lie on the ceiling. So the ceilings are collapsed. So the aircon people must pay for the ceilings. Don't come and say the ceiling fixing is more capital. We should be paying a cent to have them fixed. It's the shoddy contractors who should be blacklisted and never used again. Or are you giving the contracts all around the border? Because to use people who don't know what they do, that's just your point. We looked at the massive gate. The gate that divides Mozambique and South Africa. They can't close it. They say they haven't been able to close for months because the motor attached to the electric gate is too small to move the gate. The whole thing's blown up and it doesn't work. And the looking puzzle, you don't know because none of your people are ever there. As Honourable Malabati stated, this issue with you not paying leases for getting to pay lease arriving, to work out of their cars because the landlord's thrown them out. Has that happened at all along the borders? What is the situation there? Because it's really crucial up there. And the police up there told us there was insufficient consultation with you. They say the one building you built was in the wrong place. And now you have people coming in and going out all in the same two. It's absolute chaos up there because of, they say, your department. Finally, why would you leave it to the second phase to build toilets? There is already nothing for the police. There's no shade for the police. It's 40 degrees. When it rains, the surge is stopped. And now you tell me they're going to start building toilets. I actually don't know that you've done any work there in the last 5 or 6 years. Nobody's done any maintenance. And the whole place is an absolute disgrace. Mozambicans come to our country, they think they've gone, but we're going into their country. We expect Mozambique to look like a cross South Africa.
Okay, members, just a few questions from my side. The SHAT is currently occupying a number of SANDF facilities. The SHAT is currently occupying some SANDF facilities along the border. Now, if the transfer is going to happen between SHAT and SANDF, I just want to know, is there plans then to create additional facilities for SHAT? I just want to know what is the status of that. And then coming back to Lebombo, I know it's maybe difficult to deal with all the issues now, but we maybe can have feedback maybe in writing, just writing Honorable Abachi referred to the pollution blocks. I mean, since 2011, it's prominent SAPS members there. We really need to assist them. The overhead shelters in the searching areas, the overhead shelter at the vehicle verification area, overhead shelter and fighting for parking of the police vehicles, temporary holding cells, male and female is not separate cells at this stage. The shortage of the office space, I won't even go into the question of the scanner. There is not a dedicated scanner at this stage at that border post. So we run the risk from a policing as well as a
human trafficking point of view. So those are major issues. So I think it's quite vital that the working environment for SAPS members must be optimum. And I don't know the current management committee, I mean, that raises issues, but it's 3 or 4 years down the line. How are we going to be able to address it practically? Honourable Mabashi.
Yeah, thanks, sir. What works better for you? Leasing a building or constructing a building, what works better and faster and cost effective than
chef? Thank you, Chairperson. My question is, when you start negating the workshops and facilities that are supposed to be occupied by the different ABS? My second question is, do you have backlog and what cost is there?
Thank you very much. That's all the questions. Over to Public Works.
Thank you, sir. We will share the question. Unfortunately, I have not been able to confess that there is a reason that the social is part of the point. Certainly a construction for government, given that we have a huge portfolio of four engines. Yes, it is. It's amazing. It's also a subject of the capacity and running is probably structured. That's not quite in line with the main business of government. We prefer leasing construction. I think it just depends on the solution you're looking for. For short-term purposes, new government has been set up. A new police station has been determined in a particular area for a certain, by a certain period of time. Construction may take a bit longer to do this. So you have to lease in the short term. But I think ideally, whether the construction are provided by capital, it's not ideal to have a lease arrangement forever. Because it's subject to end up being financing when the acquisition of an asset by a step by. It's important to. That is why we are, as our medium becomes in practice, trying to construct in order to have a portfolio. Unfortunately, the backlog is too much. We need about 1,200% in terms of our portfolio, for such only 2,500 for the rest of government. It's not going to be possible to achieve acquisition by tomorrow. By next year, it's going to be taken over the year. It's in the long term, sometimes more expensive, depending on the social network. I think there are specific operational issues here. I don't want to mislead the committee, but that I cannot say I want them to deal with as well as one. I'm going to ask my colleague to respond and just check which others should be able to respond at my level. Mr. Makuza?
You can go with anything.
Just briefly, when I will share, we will provide you with a comprehensive report, especially on those detailed questions of specific things that were requested. That will cover just a few issues on my side. The first one is consultation, whether or not we consult with the officials that are working at the border. According to the arrangement of the COCC, the people working at the border from different country departments are represented by certain officials, some of whom are working in different head offices, some of whom don't work in different head offices. They then consult amongst themselves. They come to BCOCC to present their departmental requirements in terms of this is what experts were saying, this is what as agriculture fishery was saying, this is what we're saying in another department. Why BCOCC insisted on that change? Because if you were to allow one official who works at a particular border to make decisions about that border. It is also possible that in other borders, this thing has happened where individual officials will say, this is how we actually want this border to be managed and operationalized. Now, because this thing involves operational things, it involves financing. We always prefer that the accounting officers, the DGs of various government departments, should be able to actually sign off whatever success is a requirement for this border. Whatever agriculture and forestry say, this is a requirement. Otherwise, you find just one officer says, I want this thing, but he does not have any procurement authority to actually make that decision. Eventually, you'll be overspending $50 million on something that an official did not have the personnel. So those decisions are coordinated at BCOCC level, signed off by client departments, and we know that this is what SAPS wants at this particular point. SAPS facilities go to DOD or vice versa, whether there's any place for expansion. I raised that in one of the slides on our chapters, and that currently we're in the planning processes for expansion in terms of residential accommodation and so forth and so forth. So that's part of the MSAP plan. The issue of leasing in for construction is actually there for that. And the rest of the detail will be able to give the return report.
Thanks. Last issue, sir. I think that issue of the one law, where all of these people did it, and that speaking has been for quite some time, but we couldn't appoint all of these people. As I was reported last month, they finished. We're expecting the final report next month so that then we will be able to, based on their conditions, move on in the new year and start to come back and get the problem. That is the
Yeah, thank you, DG. We need to close this meeting. Maybe just to indicate, I think what we also maybe need is let's say the day-to-day issues, or the month-to-month issues, the lift of the steps in Elspruit that's working for 3 months, and I mean the motor at the border gate in Mbombo. We need to, there must be something, some operational kind of deal with it, because you can't have that. I mean, it's not acceptable, so I think some guidelines on that will also appreciate. We appreciate it, National Commissioner?
Yes, to be honest, the teacher is not the one that we would all desire. Myself as a consumer of the services in terms of the facilities required, you are aware. But we've taken a very conscious decision to engage with public works. I think the workshop that we are planning for March 8th, we should be able to come back and say, look, This is the last area that we have to cover, but this is how we have prioritized to deal with the bend platform, because we have a very, very challenging situation. Some of the facilities that are involved were able to do one or two things, but the majority of the facilities that are involved, we have to be dependent on public works to assist us. We pay money. But what we realize, a benefit out of the money is some of the buildings that got in, so dilapidated. They are very, very, very not conducive for us anymore. I would like to consciously work with public works, because I know that they have a massive turnaround strategy that they're working on, and we'd like to see how we develop, efforts to ensure that we prioritize, we guide, we deal with our issues. The DG has a lot of work before me. And we have massive plans in terms of being enabled to be able to do our work. I mean, I just want to tell you that when I'm in Boston and I go to other head offices, I ask myself a lot of questions, because it's half the day there's one to cover, half the week there's one week working, every day they are repaired on our list. So it's not only the employees, it's a very big problem for all of us. But we hope that we engage and we have something.
Thank you very much, honourable members. Thank you very much, delegation from SAPS and the Department of Public Works. We have finalized our agenda. We still got to deal with the minutes, but it's 1 o'clock. There's also other meetings, and 2 o'clock there's a plenary. So next week, remember, in terms of our program, we're going to deal with real safety presentation by SAPS. There's also going to be a presentation by Shira on the responses to our recommendations and the recent developments. So we'll have to deal with the minutes at that meeting, even if we have to go to 3 o'clock. So I just want to alert members, you know, that we have to deal with that. Maybe just on to today's presentations, I think it's quite important going forward, the steps that we get, maybe an updated report in due course, not in this month, but I will communicate with the Commissioner. Because I think the Kruger project is a vital national project, and there's many departments involved. But from our side, Portfolio Committee, we want to ensure that SAPS members got the necessary resources, capabilities to deal with the challenges. That the SAPS is not left behind in other departments and state institutions at the capacity. So we monitor that very closely. In terms of Mpumalanga, as I indicated at the start of the meeting, there's very positive developments in that province. Apart from the criticism today, we met very good police persons, men and women. The brigadier that's heading the Nelspruit police station, gave a very good presentation. So there's very good people in SAPS, and they must continue with the good work. And, you know, we will keep on monitoring, visiting provinces, police stations, here to ensure that we've got police service that is trusted by the community, that all in South Africa are and feel safe. Maybe just with regard to the second issue, we appreciate the input from Public Works, but we will also await the written replies and further recommendations, but we'll have to make time available, maybe during the budget hearings, that we get a SAPS perspective on the Public Works relationship. And maybe also have Public Works at a meeting that we can look at the devolved police stations and all the building projects where there is currently, there are current problems that we collectively, you know, can get it from a strategic point of view. So we'll also do that. So thank you very much, honourable members and SAPS and DW.
Yeah.
Reading is adjourned.
Don't leave the head.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, but we need more time.
Please come to the next meeting. We're going to meet in the room. No, I don't want to leave the meeting. I want to leave work. Let's go and do something.
One of those things is going to be.
Please. I'm going to go to the next one.